At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like preventive care. Our physicians are committed to keeping you healthy with the right vaccines and wellness checks for your children. For seniors, we can review prescriptions to make sure you're on track. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. I got a lot to get to today. Two separate idiotic pieces in the Washington Post attacking me. What is it, my birthday or something? But we begin today with James Comey. We bid a fond farewell to the former FBI director, the hero of the Republic, who, as it turns out, was really bad at his job. Here is the story. So, James Comey, former FBI director, hero of the Republic, for a brief moment in time, brief shining moment in time. Well, a report came out yesterday from the Office of the Inspector General over at the DOJ, and basically what it found is that he leaked classified information to the press through a friend. Now, it wasn't heavily classified. It wasn't super-duper top-secret classified. It wasn't like he set up a private server like Hillary Clinton or something. Instead, what happened is something fairly simple. He created a series of memos. He then leaked those memos to one of his friends who was outside the government. That person then proceeded to hand those over to the New York Times. And that was, in fact, a violation of law, but not bad enough that he was actually going to get prosecuted. Now, James Comey then declared himself exonerated. There are so many ironies in this story. It's like it's an onion of irony. You take off that top layer, another layer of irony, and then another layer of irony, all the way down to that core of granite iron irony. It's fantastic. So James Comey he started off, you'll recall, as an enemy to the Democrats, right? Because in 2016, James Comey made the grave error of going out in public and spilling on how Hillary Clinton violated the law six ways from Sunday. And then he said, but we're not prosecuting her because I've changed the law. Conveniently for her, I've changed the law now. I'm rewriting it. She's not going to be prosecuted. But she did some bad stuff, guys, some bad stuff. And the Hillary Clinton campaign rightly said, well, if you're not prosecuting me, then why are you spilling all this crap out in public? Right now, irony layer number one. The entire Democratic Party was super happy that Robert Mueller then did the exact same thing to Donald Trump on the Trump, Russia, and obstruction of justice stuff. Right? Because that's what the Mueller report was. It was all the reasons why Trump is bad. Also, we're not prosecuting him. But here you are, and just bleh, vomit all this material right out there in public. Okay, so James Comey did that in 2016. It was very bad. Then the Democrats flipped, and by 2019, it was really good. Okay, so that's irony number one. Then James Comey, right before the election, reopens the investigation into Hillary Clinton and has to notify the entire world about it, like 5 days before the election. And then a couple days later, he says, oh, yeah, by the way, that we didn't really find anything. And this really hurts Hillary Clinton. So he is the enemy, right? He's the person who cost Hillary Clinton the election, supposedly. Then it turns out that he's a hero of the Republic. Why? Well, because he started keeping tabs on President Trump. He was suspicious of President Trump. And because he was suspicious of President Trump, he started keeping memos. And he refused to just say out loud what he had already told Trump, which is that Trump wasn't under investigation. It turns out the reason he wasn't saying that is because Trump was kind of under investigation by Comey and the FBI. The reason Comey was keeping memos was presumably in order to provide the basis for an obstruction of justice charge or in order to gather information on Trump-Russia kind of stuff. So Comey was either fibbing to Trump or he was unwilling to say something that was eminently true to the American public. One of these two things was obvious. Okay, so he ends up getting fired, and now he's a hero of the Republic again. So he went from being Democratic enemy to Democratic hero, which in and of itself is a certain level of irony, especially because he probably cost Hillary Clinton the election in the view of Democrats. Okay, so for 2 years, he's hero of the Republic because he was fired by Trump, and this was obviously Trump trying to stop the Russia investigation. Then a couple things happen. One, the Russia investigation comes to nothing. And two, it turns out that James Comey is, in fact, a leaker and that he lied about leaking. And that James Comey is, in fact, a self-aggrandizing tool who is not very good at his job, which is unfortunate for James Comey. Not great for James Comey. And so the OIG analysis comes out yesterday, and James Comey, in another layer of irony, then declares himself exonerated. This is the same guy. This is the same guy who declared that President Trump was supremely wrong for declaring himself exonerated by the Mueller report. So, which is it? Well, he wasn't exonerated here. Okay, not only was he not exonerated, the report is pretty damning. Basically, the OIG found, and this is a direct quote, that consistent with the Inspector General Act and department regulations, this matter was referred to the OIG in July 2017 by then-acting FBI Director Andrew McCabe, following the FBI's determination that Comey may have shared memos that contained classified information with his personal attorneys. And they say, yes, the memos were, number one, FBI records. So he called them personal records. They were not. They were FBI records. Second, Comey violated department and FBI policies pertaining to the retention, handling, and dissemination of FBI records and information. They say Comey's actions with respect to the memos violated department and FBI policies. And then they say that he failed to return memos after being removed as FBI director. He improperly disclosed FBI documents and information through a third party to a reporter. They say that he improperly disclosed the presence of this information to his attorneys. In other words, there are a bevy of violations here. They didn't rise to the level of the criminally prosecutable, but he definitely violated a bunch of internal FBI regulations, his employment agreement, and all the rest. And the OIG concluded that Comey's behavior really damaged the FBI. They said, quote, the responsibility to protect sensitive law enforcement information falls in large part to the employees of the FBI, who have access to it through their daily duties. On occasion, some of these employees may disagree with decisions by prosecutors, judges, or higher-ranking FBI and department officials about the actions to take or not take in criminal and counterintelligence matters. They may even, in some situations, distrust the legitimacy of those supervisory, prosecutorial, or judicial decisions. But even when these employees believe that their most strongly held personal convictions might be served by an unauthorized disclosure, the FBI depends on them not to disclose sensitive information. Former Director Comey failed to live up to this responsibility. By not safeguarding sensitive information obtained during the course of his FBI employment, and by using it to create public pressure for official action, Comey set a dangerous example for the over 35,000 current FBI employees and the many thousands more former FBI employees who similarly have access to or knowledge of non-public information. Comey said he was compelled to take these actions. But it doesn't matter, because they have previously faulted Comey for acting unilaterally and inconsistent with department policy. Comey's unauthorized disclosure of sensitive law enforcement information about the Flynn investigation merits similar criticism. In a country built on the rule of law, I mean, this is the OIG just slapping Comey across the grill. In a country built on the rule of law, it is of the utmost importance that all FBI employees adhere to department and FBI policies, particularly when confronted by what appear to be extraordinary circumstances or compelling personal convictions. Comey had several other lawful options available to him to advocate for the appointment of a special counsel, which he told us was his goal in making the disclosure. What was not permitted was the unauthorized disclosure of sensitive investigative information obtained during the course of FBI employment in order to achieve a personally desired outcome. Okay, the DOJ declined to prosecute, but that is bad news for James Comey. And it also does speak to real questions that folks have about the honesty and objectivity of the FBI. And this is just another black mark for the FBI. On the left, the suggestion was that the FBI went after Hillary Clinton too hard. On the right, the suggestion is that the FBI basically concocted the Trump-Russia investigation to go after the Trump campaign under the Obama administration. And we still are awaiting an OIG report about the origins of the Trump-Russia investigation. There are two plausible theories about the origins of the Trump-Russia investigation. Plausible theory number one is that it was initiated in good faith based on information received by the FBI that there were several low-level aides to the Trump campaign who were meeting with Russian sources. And so they initiated the investigation, and then it spun out of control. That confirmation bias, people like Peter Strzok and Lisa Page at the FBI, who hated President Trump and who were deeply suspicious of him, they started to find information where they were seeing it. And they were just looking for data, and they found the data they were looking for, and it didn't matter that they were missing the entire forest. They spotted the trees that they wanted, and they honed in on those trees. Right? That is theory number one, initiated in good faith, but pursued wrongly. Theory number two was initiated always in bad faith, that basically the FBI received information via the Hillary Clinton campaign, and then they initiated the investigation based on a desire to harm the Trump campaign. And they were planning to spring that on the Trump campaign late in the campaign if they thought that he was going to, they thought that he was going to win, or post-campaign if he actually did win. Right? That is theory number two. And we'll find out which one of these is true. What is certainly true is that faith in the FBI, in the competence, core competence of the people at the highest level in the FBI, has to have been shaken by all of this. I mean, James Comey was the head of the FBI, and it turns out
We now go live to high school football with Brent Weber.
How good and well, up country, Shasta County. Tonight, our North State Game of the Week has the Anderson High School Cubs entertaining the Spartans from Red Bluff, a decades-old rivalry dating back to the good old days when the Anderson School here in the Anderson Unified District was the biggest one in the county. Well, now they're one of the smaller ones, but they still have those hearts of Cubs. You can hear in the background that we do have the junior varsity game going on, so we'll talk about the varsity game. Looks like we'll probably start this contest close to on time, maybe a few minutes late, but we have plenty of things to talk about, including a look at some of the other games going on out there. It is a gorgeous night here at Bob Reed Stadium. A big difference from a week ago, when our first game of the week was blistering out at West Valley. West Valley went on to defeat Shasta High School in that there's some calling it the week sub-zero because they call this week the zero week, which is just silly to me because pretty much everybody plays. So why not just call it all week one? But I think I might have said that last week. A year ago, visiting Red Bluff Spartans, coached by Orland Culp, a veteran of 33 years as a head coach in high school football. Well, Orland Culp's team stumbled a bit. They finished 2-8, but they finished with a win over Enterprise, and their other victory was a big rivalry win over Corning in the Tehama County Shootout, something for them to build on. They have up against them tonight, an Anderson Cubs team that was 7-4 a year ago, 3-2 in their league, and although they are in the smaller division, they have been bringing it to Red Bluff the last several meetings. Last year, winning 31-28, Anderson has won the last two meetings, 4 of the last 5. It has been a 50-50 pretty much proposition over the decades, and this one dating back, as we said, many, many years to when Anderson was the biggest school in the county. Now, Bob Reed, of course, was a longtime head coach and still very close to this Anderson program. In fact, in just a moment, we'll hear from the head coach for the Anderson Cubs, Don Trotter, a player and an assistant and a JV coach, and now the head coach of his alma mater, Anderson High School. We'll hear him talk a little bit about his mentor as a coach, Bob Reed. We'll have that for you coming up in just a few minutes. The JV game is over. Red Bluff did win that game, and the varsity teams have yet to come out and get ready to get loose for their games. A few of the special teams players are starting to get loose for the early warm-ups, and that's a good time for us here with the lights on, a light breeze blowing towards Mount Shasta. You can see the sun setting, and now coming from the north side with Mount Shasta behind them, the Anderson Cubs do indeed take the field for their pregame festivities. They're carrying the big blue flag with the gold A for Anderson and the Cubs. Another player carrying the American flag on the field as they race towards their warm-up area. Red Bluff is already in the end zone getting prepared for their entrance to the field as well. We're going to take a quick break. We'll run down some of the other games on the scoreboard tonight and let you know what things look like here. But it's a beautiful night for football wherever you are. Stay tuned. Get comfortable. We've got high school football for you tonight, brought to you by our good friends at SST Oil. It's that time again to maintain your monitor heater, Toyo heater, Toyo water heater. Schedule an appointment with SST Oil. They're our Game of the Week sponsors tonight. We'll be back with high school football pregame on KCNR.
For many people, their faith, their family, and their health are the most important things in their life. Every day, the work that I do influences these things. Children go to college, couples move into their first home, people retire, businesses start, and charities are supported. All of this in part because of the work I do. I can make complicated things clearer so people understand them. I can solve problems and find solutions. People need someone to put their interests first. And for many people, I am that someone. I can lend an ear, stand with you during life's ups and downs, and provide that advice at just the right time. That's why I love my job. That's why I'm a financial advisor, Susan Eastman, with Wells Fargo Advisors in Redding, California, 243-7561. Once again, this is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors. I'd love to be your financial advisor. Please give me a call at 243-7561.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living, and wanted to share some thoughts from Dave Setholter about his experience having his mother-in-law, Mary Ann, move here to River Commons.
Originally, my mother-in-law wanted to live on her own, and she really wanted to be independent. River Commons has really made that possible for her to not only remain independent, but to actually grow and to thrive. There's just such a big difference in her peace of mind and her well-being, and that's what we really wanted. It's really been the solution for her to come here, and it was her idea after looking at some other options. When she came here, it was an easy choice for her. She's really happy she did. She feels like she's home. It's enriching. She's meeting new people, really enjoying herself, and that's really what it's all about.
Call today and schedule a tour or lunch in a tour and see for yourself why our residents love living here at River Commons. Call 221-2121 or on the web at river-commons.com.
You're listening to High School Football on KCNR AM 1460.
Welcome back to Bob Reed Stadium in Anderson, California. I'm Brent Weber. The Anderson Cubs going through pregame warmups. Don Trotter's team prepares to open their season against the Red Bluff Spartans, the Spartans coached by Orlin Culp. We'll tell you more about those teams in a moment. We spoke with Coach Culp a few minutes after their arrival today. They're excited to get things going. He has high hopes. He's preaching with his team 1 week at a time, one game at a time, and we will see just how they come out and approach tonight's game. Both teams coming off the loss of some key players, but some key returnees as well, which is always the case with good high school football programs. And, of course, Coach Trotter on the other side, he's excited as always. And they have a lot of fun here in Anderson, so we're looking for a pretty great matchup tonight. I spoke with Coach Trotter earlier in the week, and we talked about it in our discussion, playing for his, one of his heroes, Bob Reed, here at Bob Reed Stadium. I mentioned to him that he must really love it here. He must have really loved being a high school Anderson Cub because he pretty much, for the most part, as a grown adult, he's never left.
I had a high school experience. Matter of fact, this is Coach Reed's job as far as I'm concerned. He calls me 2-3 times a week and lets me know what I'm doing and what I should be doing and shouldn't be doing. But yeah, no, my whole coaching staff, with the exception of one, are Anderson Cubs. So absolutely.
How cool is that? You're playing in Reed Stadium.
Oh, it's real cool. You know, it's, Coach knows a lot more than I'll ever know. So, you know, he's a big help, you know, and he comes to practice every once in a while and talks to the kids, and he's great. He's awesome.
Being the head guy, you know, now a few years into that is, it can be different, but it seems like you seamlessly kind of moved in there because, you'd worked at the JV ranks, you worked as assistant, you know, there was no, it was none of this, hey, you should be the head coach every day, I don't think. It was just biding your time, and when the time came, you were well accepted. Do you feel that a few years into the program?
Yeah, it did kind of fall in my lap because I was actually on the board to hire the new coach, and I kept getting, you know, questions they were asking me, and I, you know, I finally just went out with my wife that night and called him up and said, you know what, I'll just take the job if you guys still want me. And so here I am.
Now you've got, you've been head coach long enough to have, this is kind of pretty much your second class of full kids, right, that you would have had the whole time you've had them there. Numbers are down a little bit, but still the same type of kids, right? Anderson Kibbs are pretty unique.
Yes, this is the group that they were freshmen. I actually had a freshman team my first year. And these kids are the seniors, and it's a good group. They're very talented. And like you said, we are thin. I mean, we're big up front. We're athletic at all the skilled positions. And, you know, they're Anderson Cub kids, you know, and they'll show that on the football field. So
now you had one of the most dynamic offenses offensive players last year at the center of things. But it always also comes down to you had a great offensive line, which makes and breaks. How is your offense going to look for starters? Because, you know, we're always pointing the finger at Coach Trotter because you run that offense.
Sure. No, it's going to be completely different, actually. Yeah, absolutely. Parker, we don't have Parker back there, but our offensive line is just as good, if not better, and we sure are big. And with the skilled kids we have, we're going to do some different things. And it's all a learning experience for all of us. I mean, when you have a school like Anderson and you don't have the kids that like a Shasta or a Red Bluff have, you got to kind of, you know, incorporate what the kids can do into an offense. And it's a work in progress every year. We're going to look different every year that I'm there probably. So I'd like to call it the kitchen sink offense.
Well, you know, let's talk about Red Bluff a little bit. Sure. You know, annually you're talking about, I said last week that I like this matchup because I think you're two of the consistently gritty teams that I've seen, you know, exciting teams to watch. They do something really, really well on offense, and they throw their bodies around a little bit on defense. And you guys are known for, as you said, having some big kids and having skills. So why is this a good one on your schedule for you, and what do you think this year is going to look like?
Well, I don't know if it's a good one or not, but it's one of our rivals, and Coach Reed, you know, he wanted me to keep them on the schedule. And to be honest with you, I wanted to keep them on the schedule because that was one of the biggest rivalries in the game that I've ever played in. I said, well, when we played them at Anderson my senior year, there was nowhere to stand, nowhere to sit, you know, and those things you remember, you know. But my little Bruce Street Thugs, they're going to come out and play hard. You know, they always do. So we're looking forward to it.
And having that home game to start things off, I know you guys are ready. We always talk about, it's a little bit of a cliche, but one of the things people say, coaches and players all will agree, they're kind of tired of looking at each other by now. I mean, they're ready to play somebody, and you just hope that they go out and keep their emotions under, you know, and don't make a lot of mistakes, things like that. But they're tired of looking at each other. Heck, you're probably tired of looking at them looking at each other.
I'm tired of looking at them looking at each other, for sure. I mean, I don't know if I get tired of the kids. I absolutely love the kids. But, yeah, they're getting sick and tired of hitting each other. And with the numbers that we have, I don't get to hit them as much as I want to. But, you know, we're going to open up the gate on Friday, let them go, see what they do.
Football this year, you know, last year was so difficult for everybody in the North State. Beyond the depth of the tragedies, you know, it also kind of, you know, put everything in perspective for us. When football was able to come back, especially in, you know, some of the Shasta County teams, and then eventually we had the horror down in Butte County. But, you know, there was kind of that solace in a way once, you know, football went on, sports went on, and it was, I think, really important for these kids. Now moving, you know, forward, we're past that horrible fire year, knocking on wood. Mm-hmm. But, you know, for all these kids, I think sports proved to be at the high school level kind of something that kept the community centered, and there's probably no more centered community in that way than Anderson.
I agree 100%. You know, we, like you said, last year, I think the kids started thinking that we were going to start playing our games in the basketball gym, you know, I mean, but everybody was in the same boat. But, you know, once it got going, it was, you know, it was normal, you know, it just felt normal again, and everybody didn't forget, but, you know, you kind of put it in the back of your head and you went out and had your fun, you know, it was a tough year, but it was a tough year for everybody around, you know.
All right. So, I don't do predictions or anything like that, and I know you're going to tell me we want to reach our goals and all those things, but for week one, with a kind of a short roster for you, you guys, you know, what are you as a staff trying to get the kids to focus on in week one? We don't see a lot of razzle-dazzle, do we, out of the gate?
Razzle-dazzle, I think Coach Reed would grab me by the throat if I did razzle-dazzle. I don't think I've ever had a razzle-dazzle play in my life, to be honest with you, not even when I played in college. But, no, you know, we're looking forward to the game. Our kids are ready to go. Coaching staff, I got a great coaching staff that has got them ready. You know, we'll see what happens on Friday night.
All righty. And it is indeed Friday night. That's head coach Don Trotter from earlier in the week. Right now, the captains from both teams are heading out for the blue and white of the Anderson Cubs. Those captains, Mason Fuentes, Cody Crawford would be a captain tonight, but he is out injured. Marquise Cole and Marcus Trotter, captains, as well as Jamie Cushman, a captain tonight. And for the Red Bluff Spartans, Caleb Ortega, Eli Wiebe, Brendan Ortega, and Braden Robinson are all captains. So they are out at midfield, with referee Don Milligan, his crew, umpire Novi and Derek Willis, Mike Van Gundy and Steve Vickery, all wearing the stripes tonight. But Don Milligan, the man with the coin that is being flipped, and the white cap. So we're going to take a quick 1 minute break, and I'll tell you who wins that toss, and we'll have more for you as we get set for this week's Game of the Week, brought to you by SST Oil on KCNR.
Well, this is Carl Bott, and this year Linda and I are having a staycation at Holiday Harbor. Great facilities, boats, and of course the Harbor Cafe. Harbor Cafe is open 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Great food, beer, wine, and of course mimosas in the morning. Add that to the views of Lake Shasta, and there's no reason to go anywhere else. We love Holiday Harbor and the Harbor Cafe. That's a staycation every family will enjoy. Holiday Harbor.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
North State High School Football, exclusively on KCNR AM 1460.
Let's listen to the Anderson Union High School District Golden Pride Marching Band for the national anthem. Well, we couldn't really do them justice. They did a wonderful job in the stands. That's the Anderson Union High School District, Anderson Union High School's Golden Pride Marching Band, directed by Michael Costa. So glad we were able to get them in and get that going. Of course, we're back at Bob Reed Stadium. If you just joined us, this game brought to you tonight by SST Oil. The Anderson Cubs will be receiving the opening kickoff. They will defend the south goal. The way the things lay out here at Reed Stadium, to the north, that's my left, left to right, to the north is Mount Shasta, and that will be the goal that the Red Bluff Spartans in white, green, and Vegas gold will be defending that goal. They're coming out to kick there from their own 40-yard line. Right in front of me and to my right, defending the south goal, wearing their Cubs blue, and big blue they are, the bright blue and gold of the Anderson Cubs. So we're both of these teams, and we will learn about this as we go, have very good kickers. Aaron Rodriguez will be kicking off, and he is a veteran for the Red Bluff Spartans. And let's see, Devin Wilson and Christian Teague are back to return the kick for your, or not your, we're in Shasta County, right? So for the homestanding Anderson Cubs. So it's Devin Wilson taking it on his own 15 on the right side hash mark, cuts up towards the sideline, beats a couple of guys. He's finally knocked down and dragged down. First guy got him from behind was Logan Benson. He only had a couple of guys to beat, but a very strong return. They'll take it over first and 10 on their own 39-yard line. So just a few ticks of the clock, and they get it on their own 39. So for the Anderson Cubs, they have a different team from a year ago. They lose one of the most dynamic and battering players. Parker Phillips had 28 touchdowns last year. Well, he's gone. Joe Carrillo's gone. Mario Martinez is gone. Their quarterbacks are gone. Leota and Cheryl are gone. They bring back under center Mason Fuentes. He's starting as a quarterback for the first time. He's got a single man behind him, an H-back to his right, throwing on first down and just missing, pretty much wide open over the center of the field. And that particular play was Rowdy Cedars, the tight end. I was going to say a year ago it was Parker Phillips' first, second, and third, and they threw off of his ability to run. Well, this year it may be the opposite of that, and especially tonight. They're without Cody Crawford. He's got a leg injury, was expected to be their feature back and a key defender. So they may throw the ball more. Their two most experienced offensive skill players are Christian Teague and Maurice Crowell, and they are wideouts. And, in fact, they are to the bottom, to near side, left side, and they're looking deep, spinning around, and a nice little button over there is Crowell, and excuse me, Kroll, and Kroll makes the catch. He's finally brought down after the catch by Kamari Talley defending there, but it's a first down on the 39-yard line. So a nice pickup of about, let's do the math here, 10, 20, 22, but there is a penalty on the play. Let's see who it's going to be against. No foul, they said. So it was a pass. 22 yards to Crowell. So, right away, two plays, two pass attempts. Their running backs, Schubert is their H-back in this particular play. Let's see where they put him. Mason Fuentes is the senior quarterback. He's not a big guy, 5'7", 158, but showing a good arm already. They send in motion, and we get a flag, Rowdy Cedars. And I think he may have had a little bit of movement up front. So we're going to have a false start. So they'll move it back. It'll be first down and 15 here with 11:19 to go in the first quarter. Devin Wilson, their key back, he is in there. They'll be exchanging guys in and out. Eric Chestnut was in. He just came out high-fiving with, I believe that's Ethan Schubert. Well, let's see who else is in there. The tight end now is Cedars. Kroll's right by him. Look to throw in the flats right side, and it's complete there to Kroll. Kroll has some room on the sideline. Kroll, untouched, he will go all the way. Red Bluff caught flat-footed on a zip pass out into the right flats, and Kroll just went on his merry way. I'm not sure anybody got a single finger on him. It'll be a 44-yard TD pass from Fuentes to Kroll. And we'll see about the point after. We mentioned both teams have good kickers. Brian Melendez, a senior, he's had a great year last year, 32 of 35 with a point after, 3 of 7 on field goals. And his first kick, the left-footed kicker, is good of the 2019 campaign. So 10:44 remaining in this first, and it's 7-0. Anderson. Wow. We'll be back with the first drive of the game for Red Bluff in just a moment. You're listening to the Game of the Week brought to you by SST Oil on KCNR.
SST Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low-sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SST Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows. Stay warm and cozy with Toya Tomy and SST Oil. 241-1167. 241-1167.
Powerhouse Solar announces their new design showroom at 4616 Caterpillar Road. Now with Powerhouse Solar's new design showroom, you can view your property and see your solar design on the spot so you can see what best works for you. Maybe it's a trellis mounted system, pole mounted systems, or roof mount. See all the options in Powerhouse Solar's design showroom at 4616 Caterpillar Road. For information, go to powerhousesolar.com or call 275-5600. Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower Elite dealer.
You're listening to High School Football on KCNR AM 1460.
Well, the kickoff, a good one by Brian Melendez, and a good coverage on the return. Jaden Magana tried to take it up the left sideline, and he got nowhere. So not great field position. It'll be first and 10 for Red Bluff on their own, right about their own 19. We'll call it 18. There's 10:37 on the clock here in the first quarter. So Red Bluff, let's see what they bring to the table here offensively. We know they've got a substitution right out of the gate. Somebody, Braden Robinson, had to come out. It must have been an equipment substitution. And they're going to, because you could tell he was very frustrated. Now, Robinson will alternate quite a bit. Ortega, feature back, is well as Jaden Magana, who's in there just to the right of the quarterback, Eli Wiebe, who's in the shotgun. Nice soft pocket. Tries to run right side. Has a room. Will get pulled down from behind. One man had a shot at him, but he winds up picking up about 5 yards before being brought down on that play by Hayden Drumheiser. It's a beautiful night, folks. I mean, it is. We've got some clouds. This is such a great place to watch a game, especially from up here, because I can see all the Lassen peaks on one side, and I can see Shasta beautifully up on the left, and I've got good football. And the conditions of the field, I walked it tonight, very good. High grass, not hard, probably favors a running game, but we'll see. They give on the inside give. I believe that's Magana. Up the gut, nothing doing, knocked down pretty quickly. Big hit there by Jamie Cushman out of the nose tackle position. So Red Bluff will use Ortega, Magana, Robinson. He's the quarterback we mentioned. He's a good one. Threw for 2,100 yards last year, 20 touchdowns, 57% passing. They also, at the skill positions, have Clyde Shaver and Leslie Shank. Caleb Ortega is a good tight end for them there. So the quarterback has a man just off to his left. He's taking one step back, then dumping it left side. Nice curl cut under, complete to Leslie Shank. He's going to have the first down. Good size kid. He's listed at 5'8", but I got to think Shank's a little bit taller than that. He certainly showed a nice little curl in after making the catch, and he's brought down. Big first down there. Trying to keep up with, as I mentioned, still looking for our statistician. You should let the station know or send me an email. We'd love to have a statistician up here with us, a spotter. It sure is a lot of fun, but it's kind of more fun when you have that help. But, hey, it's fun tonight. Oh, give inside. Big hit, big smash, big knock up the middle. Boy, Morib Magana did not have any room, and they just leveled him back. Not sure who. I'm listening. I'm cheating. And Eric Chestnut, the middle linebacker, stepped right in. He's a senior. And he's going to be very important for this Anderson Cubs defense. Cubs up front, they'll throw five at you sometimes. Party, Cushman, Bowers, a two-way player. Chestnut, Drumheiser, Schubert all get some knocks in. Fuentes and Wilson, Kroll, Ballas and Wilson all going to give you some big snaps on defense. He's had time to throw. Lost one up deep. It's underthrown. A reach for it. Who will come up with it? It's incomplete. Defending on the deep play, it was Ethan Schubert. Or was it? Actually, who was it? No, it was Mason Fuentes on it, covering. Intended for Shaver. Underthrown. Clear as a bell. He gets it. If he gets some... he had some separation, I think, and if not for Shaver being a little taller, he's listed at 6'1". He didn't really have a chance. Fuentes didn't have a chance on the jump ball. He's only 5'7", but, you know, hey, Mason was able to get it on the dirt. It's incomplete. So it's third and 10 now. Fifth play of the drive. So calling the plays on the fly. Ortega's at a flank, an H-back. They've actually got an H-back off to the right and then a flanker out wide right and a wide receiver there. Rolling right, looking to throw is Wiebe. He's got some pressure, underthrown, almost picked. His intended receiver was a Shaver. Right there on him was Hayden Drumheiser, who came over from the middle on the coverage. So fourth down, let's see what they're going to do. They have a good punter. Rodriguez last year punted 34 times. But they may go for it, considering where the ball is. It's about the 37-yard line. And they're lining up, they're lining up like they're going to punt. Let's see. Well, did they change who their punter is? Because they've got Clyde Shaver showing he's going to punt. So you might want to look for a trick play here, because he's not their normal punter. Rodriguez is. See what they're going to do. Well, he's going to punt. I guess he's doing the punt. And oh, he shanks it. It's a bad one. Barely across midfield. Goes out of bounds at the 45 of Anderson. Great field position for Anderson after the punt. Goes maybe 15 yards. All right, so nothing doing, the punt. And with 7:57 to go in the first, Anderson takes over in good field position. You're listening to the Game of the Week, brought to you by SST Oil on KCNR. Let's keep it right here. Jared, if it's not too late, I talked too much and we didn't get it to break. And my producer, Jared King, doing a great job back there. Thank you, Jared, for waiting for me to stop babbling. And so we can go right to action, not miss a single thing. All right, here we go. Cubs with a single back behind the quarterback. The first running play of the game doesn't really net them anything of note. That was Steve. Who was that on the run? Devin Wilson. I guess it was Devin Wilson. Devin Wilson, the 5'7", 181-pound senior, and he's going to be a key player for them this year. Feature positions. Fuentes comes over to the sideline, gets the plays from Coach Trotter. Now, Coach Trotter was as we mentioned, he is a tried and true Cub. He's got one Cub playing on this team, his son. He's got who's actually comes out. Again, I believe it's going to be an equipment thing. His face mask is not working, is not on properly or something, and so he had to come out. So Marcus Trotter, and then his other son is an assistant coach on this team. We'll run down the coaches on both teams in a minute. So they have a single back behind the quarterback. So he's in a three-yard deep, fakes a handoff to nobody. They've got some pressure coming, and they do indeed drop him there. Big loss, nothing, no room. Lachlan Dean came off the left end for the Spartans and drops him for a big loss. It's going to be a loss of about 11 yards. So, tough luck there. Like I said, a mess of wow. Let's see where they wind up marking it. Yeah, it's going to be 11, loss of 11. So, third and long. Let's see how they set things up. Single back behind the quarterback now. He has twins. They're on the left hash mark. Twins to the left, and you heard the whistle. Yeah. So they're going to – I couldn't exactly tell there was feedback there, but you could hear it was on the offense, 5 yards, so it's probably motion, probably offsides. So it's going to be third down and, boy, a whole bunch now, 26 yards. Yep. So they passed on every down in the first time through. Now they send Teague there on the left side hash mark again. Teague and Crowell are wide to the left, and the timeout's going to be called by Coach Trotter. So, you know, you got confidence in your team. It is early to call a timeout, but put it in perspective. It's a new season. Get it right. Don't make a mistake. We're going to send it to a break. Quick 30-second break during this timeout. This game brought to you by SST Oil on KCNR.
So what's scorecard scribbling's all about?
I was scared for my life at that point. I remember looking to the right and seeing all the medical supplies there, and I'm just thinking, are they going to cut off a leg? What are we doing here?
I had a coach that would come up to me on the plane, stick his hand out. I knew what he wanted. cool am I not to give them to him? Like, I thought, okay, job security.
We came to the ballpark every day. We knew we were going to win. It's a great experience, a great feeling to be on a club like that.
Scorecard Scribblings with Brent Weber, Wednesday night from 6 to 7 on KCNR.
You're listening to High School Football on KCNR AM 1460.
Welcome back to Reed Stadium, Bob Reed Stadium in Anderson, a beautiful orange clouds or reddish, purplish pink. You got to love those. A beautiful late summer night. Not quite fall yet. 7-0 Anderson. They have a 3rd and 26 and a timeout called by head coach Don Trotter, which early in the season, I think you just want to let your team know, don't make big mistakes here. So the quarterback's going to go straight back there, bringing some pressure from the ends. He has a man left sideline, a little contact there, and yes, indeed, there's going to be an interference call. Christian Teague had a size mismatch. He's 6'2", 184. And the man covering him out there was Leslie Shank, and Shank's only about 5'8". And if Shank doesn't extend the arm on the coverage, then maybe not, but it's going to be a pass interference, and it was way downfield. So let's listen in to the referee, Don Milligan.
Defensive pass interference. 15 yards from the quickest spot, with Pete third down.
So 15 yards from the, well, it's not from the penalty spot, because if it was, it would be way down there. It's 15 yards. Of course, that's the high school rule. So you don't get it from the penalty spot. This ain't the NFL. So unfortunately, they still don't have a first down, but it's more palatable now. 3rd and 10, 6 minutes and counting down. Single man wide to the left, wide to the right. Christian Teague way up top there on the left hash mark. Give it up the middle. Big run up the middle. I'm trying to see if that was Schubert or who it was carrying it there. He had a 2 on his jersey. Nice pickup of about 6 yards. No, was that Chestnut? Oh, getting some snaps from
Schubert, the ball carrier. He gets out over midfield into Spartan territory at the 49-yard line.
No, it was Ethan Schubert. Well, I had it right the first time. So Schubert gets him to 4th and 4. They're going to go. They're going to bring out the punter, Mason Fuentes. So you know when your quarterback's punting, he punts from his own 40. He is going to run, looking to pass. He's turning the corner right side. He's got a first down. First down, Anderson. 41-yard line. A nice pickup. So Fuentes on the keeper. That's one good thing about having a quarterback as your punter. They're finding some room around the edge there. So well done. I believe the tackle over there was, I'm trying to see who that was. Seth Miller, the defensive end on that side. He brought him down from behind. So it'll be 1st and 10 now on their opponent's 41-yard line. Cubs have been throwing, but they've mixed it up a little bit more here in this down. He sends a man in motion. Their right side hash mark. Left side, they give it to the running back. That is Devin Wilson, and he's wrapped up in the backfield rather quickly there by D'Angelo Ackley. He's just a sophomore, and might be the only sophomore, to my recollection, starting for either team tonight. He's a big kid. You can see he's big and strong. Red Bluff defense. You know, you always got your hands full with Anderson because they're going to come right at you, but this might be a throwing team this year. Devin Wilson is the setback behind the quarterback. Mason Fuentes, once again, right side hash mark. Once again, two men wide left, Teague and Crowell. They both have good size. They give it to Wilson. He is off the left tackle, tries to cut back inside, picks up a couple of yards, brought down there again on the stop, D'Angelo Ackley. So it'll be 3rd down. We'll call it 7. They got forward yardage on both those plays, but just not very much. Oh, Coach, I hate when that happens. I think a 20 just came in. I don't think we had a 20 on our roster. Maybe I'm just seeing things. They've got Teague wide to the left. Crowell inside him. Again, right side hash mark. H-back to the right. Single back is behind the quarterback. Looking to throw. Fuentes. One man on him. He gets him and slings him to the ground. the sack, second sack of the game, this one by Seth Miller. He just beat his man at the line of scrimmage. And we do have a penalty flag on the play. And looks like they're going to walk it off against Anderson. Let's see. Again, we'll see if we can listen in to Don Milligan. We'll see if he's getting feedback.
Here. Holding offense number 53.
That makes sense. So they're going to decline the penalties. That'll force Anderson to kick on 4th and 20. So a couple penalties, a couple of pressured sacks there. You know, Red Bluff's defense made some adjustments, I think you'd have to say. So Fuentes again sets up to punt. He'll field the ball, and around his 40, his 39, he runs and kicks the rugby kick down his right sideline, far sideline from up us. It bounces outside the 20 and comes to rest on about the 20-yard line. So with 3:04 to go here in the first quarter, Red Bluff will take over on their own 20-yard line. We'll take a quick break. This game brought to you by SST Oil on KCNO.
Redding Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
North State High School football comes your way on KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
So nothing doing on the first run there for Carter Brown, I believe, senior in the backfield for Red Bluff. They are now 2nd and 10 on their own 20-yard line. 2.5 minutes to play. First quarter, Red Bluff moving left to right. We got a flag down. This is week one for these teams. We saw it last week. You know, you first time you played against somebody other than in a scrimmage in a game that counts. So that's going to push Red Bluff back to 2nd down and 15 now. Let's try to get a set of where they who they have where. Caleb Ortega, they are on their left, about midfield, actually, between the hash marks. Leslie Shank and Caleb Ortega were wide to their, were on the right side. Quarterback looking to throw short drop, and it's complete on the far sideline, brought down out of bounds after a pickup of about 6. That was Clyde Shaver. Shaver was also brought down by the number 11 counterpart on the other side, Rowdy Cedars.
By Shaver picking it up. It was pass.
So the pickup of about 10. So it'll be 3rd down or 9 yards, we'll call it. I call it 10. 3rd and 5 on the 25. Eli Wiebe, experienced passer. His back is to his right. Steps back. About 5 yards deep now, 6-7. A diving attempt to catch it by Brandon Ortega over the middle, just off of his fingertips and incomplete. So it'll be 4th and 5. That was a timing play. Ortega came from the H-back or the offset position, kind of slanting towards the left. They're moving left to right. A little bit of a seam in the defense. But the Cubs have pretty good size top to bottom. And I didn't see a lot of room there. I'm impressed with Wiebe's arm. No doubt about it. He's got to, that could have been a dangerous pass. Now they're going to have to punt. And let's see. Now, I did not get any word on any changes. And maybe they're just using Clyde Shaver as their punter this year and giving Rodriguez the break. And what do we have? Oh, my goodness. We had a penalty, and we didn't get to hear what that was. But that's going to make it a first down. Wow. So the 5-yard penalty was just whatever it was, first down. Big break for Red Bluff. Anderson had their normal defense in there. Spartans quarterback Eli Wiebe now getting a play in to his right. Again, that's Braden Robinson. We got a whistle, and that's going to be a delay a game, maybe. So they're going to walk that one off. You know, this stuff happens early in the year, you know, just what happens. These teams moving pretty quickly, so I haven't really been able to get you any scores or anything. We'll try to do that between quarters, some other games. Okay, so Braden Robinson, the junior, gets the handoff in the backfield. Not much room there. They're not really getting much in the way of holes up the middle.
Braden Robinson, ball carry.
7-0 Anderson, 32 seconds and counting down, 30-29 here in the first quarter. Red Bluff's not really been able to get much going offensively. Anderson had a solid first series passing the ball. Now let's see what they're going to do here, 2nd and 15. Anderson has three guys down here. Weeby calls for the ball, steps back, has pressure, rolls to the right now, looking, might have to run, tucks it under, and he's brought down from behind on the play by Colton Pardee. Actually, it was Christian Teague, excuse me. So it'll now be, 3rd and 10. He got back, and we have a flag on the play. So let's see what it is. And the officiating crew is talking things over. I haven't really gotten an indicator of who it's against. They're going to come to the near side hash mark. A dead ball personal foul against Red Bluff. That's a big one. That's 15. So it's going to be half the distance to the goal because the ball was on the 29-yard line. And now they're going to mark that off, and I believe we're going to have a quick timeout. So we'll send it back to you. Red Bluff will have the ball 3rd and long. When we return, you're listening to the SST Oil Game of the Week on KCNR.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now, and a lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvy with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
You're listening to High School Football on KCNR AM 1460.
Reb Weber, welcome back to Anderson High School and Bob Reed Stadium. The end of the first quarter. I guess I kind of forgot that part of it, which is why we took a break. Duh, you heard me say the clock had ticked down. So we will head to the other side of the field. That means that Red Bluff will be going in front of us, right to left. They'll be going with the south end zone at their backs. As the sun is pretty much gone, we're into the early moments of the evening. Again, on a nice, beautiful night. Shorts are still totally fine, of course. It was in the 90s again today, but my, what a more palatable week than a week ago. No real big scores to report to you from here in the North State yet that I'm seeing, and I'll try to get you any updates as I can. Mount Shasta, Colusa, Chico, Sacramento, those are all some that we're keeping an eye on. Pleasant Valley on top of Yuba City, 7-0. So here we go. Red Bluff has it. 3rd and 25 after that dead ball foul. Quarterback looking to throw. Weeby across the middle, has a man, and it's dropped. It was thrown low to Shank, and instead of just reaching down to catch it, he went down towards his knees, and he just lost it. It would not have been enough for a first down. Wouldn't have even been close. So they were looking for a little catch and run there. But either way, it's going to be incomplete. Again, it appears that Shaver's going to be their punter this year because Rodriguez is not in there. And so the quarterback Shaver will stand on his own 4-yard line. See what Anderson does. They have one man back deep, Wilson, I believe, to return the kick. But I imagine they're going to think about going after him. Let's see. Here's the snap. And they do bring some folks. A low line drive hits it about the 48, fielded now. And on the run is Wilson. He's hit pretty hard, and he stood up, and now he's brought down. Lots of oohs and ahs on there, kind of a little bit of a high-low on the hit, I think, and not saying it was intentional. Logan Benson finished the job. I think it was Evan Miller who made the first contact. So it'll be 11:43 to go here in the second quarter. And Anderson, again, now moving. Oh, the penalty is actually against Rowdy Cedars. So they'll move it back. So the ball will be placed on the just inside the 30. It's about the 29.5. Anderson moving left to right in front of us. The Cubs break, huddle with a clap. Crowell, you're on the left side, right side hash mark. Crowell is your man wide to the right. Single back is Wilson. He gets the call up the middle, scoots forward for a few yards, gets down near the 34-yard line, so a pickup of about 4, depending on the spot. So Anderson, their opening drive was, I think, 4 plays, a 44-yard touchdown pass to Kroll with 10:44 to go, and they were up 7-0. Again, back behind Fuentes is Devin Wilson. Again, still on the right side hash mark. And they give it up the middle again. He hits the line, but then scoots outside, stiff arms, and then throws a shoulder down. Is brought down close to the first down. Does indeed have the first down on the play. And that was Logan Benson and Shankin on the hit, but enough for the first down.
First down, Cubs.
So first down, and they move up the chains. Again, they're still working on that right side hash mark. Fuentes, the quarterback, he's got some big receivers we've mentioned to you. Now they have two backs in behind him now in an I formation, and it goes straight back to throw in double coverage. It's caught up left side. I believe that's Christian Teague with the catch and wrestled out of bounds at about the 21. I think there's going to be a late hit as well. It wasn't Teague. It was Kroll. And there's going to be a flag at the play. Let's see. Right at the point of the catch. But he was in double coverage. He went up. It was not necessarily underthrown, but it was a jump ball, and he beat two men to it. Let's see. Nice throw. And they're going to march it off against Redla. Wow, that's a big one. And they're marching off a big one. I think it's going to be a late hit. So it was a 17-yard pass, and then add 15 more. And all of a sudden, Anderson on the move, left side hash mark now. They have it first and 10 on the Red Bluff, 26.5 with 10:32 to go. Gives it up the middle. There's some room. Spinning Wilson. Devin Wilson gets maybe enough for a first down on first down. So now we're seeing the Cubs kind of get back to what they're known for. Little inside, little outside, a little bang on the fly. And a play brought in here by Gator Wilson. So let's see where we're at. We've got an I formation behind the quarterback. Again, gives it to the tailback. That's Wilson. Wilson off the left side, still on his feet, battling, and he is brought down near another first down. Not sure. It's down in around the 5.5. I think they're going to call it a first and goal from the 6.
First down, Cubs. First and goal. Ball at the 6.
Let's see who they put back there. The big line starting to wear down, and it is just the first half. So Gator is in. Did I miss this? We've got a timeout called. I am remiss. Gator Wilson has come in and is playing quarterback right now. So I don't see I do see that Mason Fuentes is being tended to on the sideline. So I missed that. I saw Gator Wilson come in. I thought he was in the up-back position. But they're going to call timeout. Anderson's going to use another timeout. We're going to keep it right here and try to run down some scores. So for now, Gator Wilson is your QB. And we'll learn a little bit more about Gator. He's their free safety, of course. He's a senior, 6'1", 152. We saw he's obviously comfortable in that I formation, so they ditch the single back offense, the shotgun. So let's see who comes out now. Gator obviously still in at quarterback. Timeout is over. Tailback's going to be Wilson. They're on the left side, hash mark. Wide to the right, Christian Teague. And again, the I formation with a fullback and a tailback. Wilson is the tail. They give it to Wilson. Right side follows a big tackle right into the end zone. Touchdown, Anderson Cubs. So Devin Wilson, 6-yard touchdown run. Right behind the big right side tackle. Cushman and Trotter over there. And it is 13-0. Red Bluff's defense not answering the call yet. And let's see how Melendez does on the kick. He was perfect on his first one. He's a left-footed kicker, a senior, 5'8", 133. And, you know, that was a late snap. It's blocked. They came rushing in off the left offensive side, and the snap was not a good one, I don't think. And so that's a missed point after. It doesn't happen every day, huh? Well, Big Blue still in control, leading 13-0 with 9:10 to play in this opening half. You're listening to the Game of the Week, brought to you by SST Oil on KCNR.
Get your car squeaky clean at Quick and Clean Car Wash in downtown Reading. Quick and Clean Car Wash on the corner of Market Street and Eureka Way next to Dutch Bros is open 7 days a week. Fast and convenient, you don't even have to get out of your vehicle. And they even towel dry your vehicle. They accept cash or card with no extra charge. Quick and Clean Car Wash, located at 1210 Market Street, downtown Reading. 530-243-4211.
North State High School Football, exclusively on KCNR AM 1460.
Welcome back to Bob Reed Field, Bob Reed Stadium, and Anderson High School's 13-0 lead here. Pretty early still in the second quarter, 9:10 to play, leading Red Bluff. A couple of scores for you. Maxwell on top of Esparto, 32-8. Williams leading Live Oak, 12-0. Wairika losing in the first quarter, 20-0. Del Norte. East Nicholas over Paradise, 6-0 in the first. Orland leads Amador, 3-0. And not seeing any significant scores other than that. PV and Yuba City tied at 7. So Red Bluff ready to receive the kick here in the second half. Kick. He missed the point after. Don't think you could blame him. They didn't have a man down there almost when that kick went off. It's fielded right side of us, left side hash mark. Working his way back towards the center of the field and knocked down around the 21-yard line on the return was Kamari Talley, the junior for Red Bluff. So the Spartans will take over. And we mentioned some of their offense, but some of the other guys, we mentioned the skill players up front, Colton Brewers, the center. They've got Rodriguez, Caleb Ortega up front as well, big guys on the offensive line. Colton Brewer, D'Angelo Ackley. So now here we go, first down. They throw in the flats left side, again off the hands of the receiver. That was Brendan Ortega, incomplete. And well-thrown ball, just hit him in the hands. It's at least three plays where Weeby's pass couldn't be handled by his receiver. And it's not as though he's a new quarterback for them. Right? He threw for 2,198 yards a year ago. He has a back set off to his left. Low snap. Has room now, but he's getting some pressure in the backfield, and he is going to be brought down for a loss. He had some time initially, but couldn't find a receiver. So Neuharter on the sack. Riley Neuharter, a junior, gets the sack, and it puts him now at third and 21 yards. And Wiebe is standing on his own 3-yard line to take the snap. He has a man way wide to the left, a slot to the right. They're on the right side. Hash mark. He's going to call a timeout. Didn't like whatever was going on.
Timeout. Red Bluff, first charge timeout.
And so Red Bluff calls their first timeout. Back to the scoreboard here. See if I can give you any more updates on the scoreboard out there. We mentioned, let's see. I know there's some big scores out and around the state, but that's, we're worried about the North State. This is the real state, right? Let's see if there's any other, no other updates on those. We'll check in on our guys on the scoreboard with Shasta County Sports. What a great job they do. And we appreciate them. In fact, I listened to their podcast this week previewing the games. Very good. They did a terrific job. Let's see where else we're at. Foothill on top, 7-0. So big start for Foothill. As they score first. All right, now back to action. Red Bluff has the play they want. Let's see what kind of magic Eli Wiebe can come up with. Low snap over the middle again. This one was underthrown, and I think he was just praying for rain, just hoping to get it out there. Can't blame the receiver on that one. He had a bad snap, no real chance. He's going to be punting out of his own end zone perhaps now. It'll be fourth, and as we mentioned, long. They're calling it 20 now, fourth and 20. So Red Bluff not able to sustain a drive. Clyde Shaver in to punt. And I am sure Anderson's sending the kitchen sink. They have one man back deep. Devin Wilson, but everybody else in blue is going after the punter, and we've got a whistle. Is it going to be delay of game? It doesn't matter if it's against Anderson necessarily, unless it's going to be against Red Bluff. Now they're kicking from even closer to their own goal line, even more dangerous. Boy, they've had a couple of bad snaps from their normal center here. Let's see, Anderson coming at him. Middle of his own end zone, set to take the snap and the kick. Oh, he can't handle the kick now, does get it off quickly. It's high and not very deep, maybe 15, 20 yards. It'll go out of bounds, a real break for Anderson. Again, they've had some problems with the snap in this last series or so. The Cubs will take it over, first and 10. On the 21-yard line of Red Bluff. So we're going to keep it right here as they're moving quickly. We did mention that the quarterback, the starting quarterback for the Anderson Cubs, Mason Fuentes, is on the sideline. And I'm not going to guess. Well, I am going to guess. He could be in the protocol. Or he might have taken a little bit of a lick or something. But either way, the quarterback right now is Gator Wilson. They're using the I formation with Gator in there. A Wilson behind him. That's Devin Wilson. Nice. Off the left guard. Picks up about 6 or 7. Yeah, now he does not get a great spot, so it's going to be about 4.5. Chestnut comes in as the fullback. They're sending in the plays with their fullbacks right now. They had a jersey snafu. Ethan Schubert's wearing 20 tonight. Not that matters to you, but looking to pass now. First down. First throw from Gator. It's picked up by Crowell out in the right flats. He spins around. Beats one man. Turns the corner. He's pushed out of bounds at the 5. He just spun away from his defender there, and he beat Jaden Magana. Magana got some help at that point, and they pushed him out of bounds. But, wow, nice play. Nice run with a catch. The Cubs get a first down. Gator gets can breathe. He got a nice first down pass under his belt. Fullback again is Chestnut. Tailback in the eye is Devin Wilson. Gator Wilson, your quarterback. That big line in front of him there on the five. He gives to the tail. Devin drags a man with him down to about the three, but you know he just followed Jamie Cushman and Marcus Trotter over there. You know, it's you want to come play here against Anderson, you got to bring the boys up front because the Cubs always do. So it'll be a second down and goal from the three. Don Trotter sending in the play with Gator Wilson. Ethan Schubert comes in. I think they're going to slide him to the tail now. Let's see. Now they're going to have a senior setback. He's going to go to the H-back. They have a single back, is Eric Chestnut. Gator Wilson still at quarterback. It's more of a power eye there. And the hit just behind the line of scrimmage on the offensive left side and drop for a loss is Eric Chestnut. There are about three guys that hit him there, including Braden Robinson, their big middle linebacker. So it'll be third down and goal from the 4.5. It's inside the 5-yard line.
Brendan Robinson gets in there initially.
So Schubert's still in. Let's see where they line him up. Now they're going to go back to the eye now. Wide out to the right, wide out to the left, strong side left. Give it to the tailback, Devin. He follows his block, tries to turn the corner. He stood up off the right side tackle. There was a whistle. The ball had already popped loose. I believe there was already a whistle. He got down near the goal line. He might have been reaching, but it had already been blown dead over there. Again, just following Jamie Cushman, I think. They're going to sort it out, but it'll be fourth and goal from maybe 6 inches, maybe a foot. That can be a very difficult foot. Gator Wilson, who's got long hair coming out his helmet. You can tell he's a different quarterback in there. Little guy runs in, has the play now. They hit the big side to the right. They're not in a big set, though. I formation. Strong side, tight end left. They give it to the tailback. He's hitting behind the line of scrimmage, drop for a loss. So they'll give it over on downs, but nothing ventured, nothing gained there. They had been really moving the ball right behind Jamie Cushman and Marcus Trotter over there. So that one just comes up short. But Rudbluff has been struggling, so now we'll see what they can do with their backs up against their own goal line. They'll take it over, first and 10 on their own. With that mark now, it's set at about the 3-yard line. Left side hash mark moving right to left on the field in front of yours truly here at Anderson High School. They seem to be not completely getting it together there for Red Bluff. Now they've got the offset backs and a blocker to the left of the quarterback. He has a man behind him. They're giving it play action. Now looking down the right side, overthrows his man, and it might have been just a bad read over there. Either way, he just overthrew him. Weeby just let it fly. It was man-on-man coverage, and when the ball was released, the would-be receiver, Clyde Shaver, cut to the inside, but it was thrown outside. So it was either a misread or he just decided to get rid of it. So they tried play action out of the end zone, showed a power running formation on that first down. They didn't run. Now they've got almost a naked backfield, a blocking back to the left of the quarterback. That's Magana. They give it to him. He's heading right side. Magana rambling. Big strong runner. Just goes straight ahead. Not going to be enough for a first down, but a good pickup. Oh, yes, it is enough for a first down. So a nice pickup by Magana, and they're going to try to move quickly now. Red Bluff trying to pick up the pace. Wide to the left is Clyde Shaver. Again, Magana in the backfield next to Weeby. Again, they're a little play, the option there on the give up the middle. No veer there, just a little bit of a slide to the right, and it's a drop for a loss of a couple of yards. A couple of guys in there on that hit. I believe that was Jamie Cushman. Cushman, a senior big guy, 6'4", 335. We told you he's playing both ways. Now the Spartans have Magana in there. They're trying to get the pace going but can't do it. So they have on right side hash marks, so they've got a slot inside the wide receiver to the left looking to throw. now in trouble, but he goes underneath and does, this time misses his man, overthrows the big intended receiver, Brendan Ortega, who's 6'3", came out of the backfield, actually came off that H-back slot. He was there. It was a good idea. It was a good route, but he just overthrew him there. So not able to get really in sync yet offensively. So it's 3rd and 9. Spartans, I believe, are going to call a timeout. Let's see. Red Bluff's going to call their second timeout with 4:29 to go, big third down. They obviously see something. They've had a couple of guys look like they might be open. We're going to take a quick 30-second timeout. This game brought to you by SST Oil on KCNO.
Pirate secret to the rescue. Pirate secret to the rescue. Pirate secret to the rescue. Pirate secret's gonna rescue you.
Pirate Secret essential oils can be purchased in Reading at Orchard Nutrition, Enjoy the Store, Country Organics, in Chico at SS Produce, Arcata in Wildberries, and online at piratesecret.com.
You're listening to High School Football on KCNR AM 1460.
Hey, welcome back. Red Bluff Spartans, let's see what they're going to do here. Anderson defense comes back out on the field. Red Bluff used their second timeout. It's 3rd and 9. Spartans look like they have an idea of what they want to do out there. They want to just get their star quarterback, Eli Whibbe, going. First, his guys were dropping the ball. Now he's missed him a couple of times. If they can meet in the middle, he's trouble. Single back to his left. Looking left now off the snap. Going to dump it off over there. Gunnis got it in the flats, but he's upended and dropped for a loss. Or not a loss, but dropped short of the goal line. The first down marker, rather, excuse me. Nice hit by Devin Wilson. Came up and spun him there. That was Magana, excuse me. And they're going to go for it on 4th and short. 4th and about 3. A long 2, short 3. Either way, let's see what they do. And they're showing punt here. What are they going to do? Well, they've got a power eye formation, movement on the line of scrimmage, and that offsides will cost Red Bluff. I would imagine now they're gonna kick the ball because you know 4th and 2 is a whole lot different than 4th and 7. So the kicking team comes in, just a little eager out there on the left side. It was Leslie Shank. So they've got their punter in now. And they have gone back to Aaron Rodriguez. I'm not laughing, but I'm saying he is, an all North State caliber punter. He averaged 33 last year. I know that's not a ton, but he's a solid punter and a good kicker and shows a really good kick. Turns it over on the spiral. Nice kick. It's going to land across midfield. Rolls dead at the 36-yard line of Anderson. So I think that's the guy you're normally going to have punting when you're up against your own goal line. 3:41 to play, opening half. Anderson coming out to take the ball over. Let's check the scoreboard, see if we have any updates for you in the northern section. Of course, it's 13-0 here at Anderson. Cubs leading the Spartans of Red Bluff. Elsewhere, Maxwell on top of Sparta 32-8. Williams 12-6 over Live Oak. Biggs leading Hamilton 20-0 in the second. Del Norte up 34-0 on Wairika in the second. Lassen leading Las Plumas 28-0 in the second. So first down, inside give, going right side and spinning around the corner, trying to turn the corner for the Cubs. And then he's driven over his own bench on the sideline. Wow, that's going to bring 15, and somebody might get thrown out of this game. I'm not sure that it was intentional, and I'll say that right away. But I will say it was a beautiful run by Maurice Crowell, who was kind of on the end around. And he got just pummeled by Ortega and the officials and pushed over the bench on the sideline after he was well out of bounds. I don't know. Definitely going to be a late hit, but he could get tossed from this game. The officials are going to go over that. You don't have benefit of replay. But there's no doubt about it. There's just absolutely no doubt you cannot make contact with a player when he's that far over the sideline. That bench is not that close. It's on the track, so it's 8 feet off. It's, you know, 4 or 5 yards off. It's a good 7 or 8 yards off the playing field, maybe. And what are they going to do here? The official, I believe, went over to inform Orland Culp what was going to be the penalty. We're going to keep it here because we need to know. There also could have been an unsportsmanlike on Anderson against Kroll if the officials had seen it, because after doing a tumble, he came up and, you know, did his incredible Hulk impersonation over there to the crowd. And in high school football, yep. So you did hear it was a personal foul, and I never like to pick on a high school player. You know, this is a heated rivalry. These guys, you know, they've generations of families playing. It's always physical. And that's a big one. So thrown out of the game, a key player, Brendan Ortega. So that senior is out of the game. He's a starter in the backfield, and he's a starter on defense. So it's a big weapon they'll lose. The Cubs now with Gator Wilson at the quarterback. Yep, their starter, Mason Fuentes, went out with some type of injury. He's still in uniform on the sideline, but Gator's in at quarterback. And Anderson has the ball now in Red Bluff territory, first and 10, just outside of the 45-yard line. 3:32 to go. The clock has stopped. Gators going to see if he's going to go under center. They don't have a fullback right now. Cedars goes H-back. No, now he's going to go slot to the left. Wide out to the right is Kroll. To the left is Teagle. Looks like a passing set. Wilson behind him. Devin Wilson behind the quarterback, Gator. He's going to roll left. There's a flag. Might be a holding. He picks up some yards, beats one tackler, spins, and is finally brought out of bounds after a pickup of about 9. Javier Mejia on the big hit over there. This game's getting physical. There was a flag near the line of scrimmage. So let's see. It was thrown where you would have a holding penalty. And Gator's with good recognition there. He was getting trouble heat from the right side, which is his backside. So he rolled left pretty quickly, and he had some room out there. But they're going to pick up the flag, and are they going to pick it up? They're going to walk. No, they're going to walk it off. They're going to walk off some yards, it looks like. Let's see. One of the captains. Yeah, they're going to walk it off against Anderson. 4, 5, 6, 7. It's going to be a hold. Holding penalty. So they walked it off. Walked off 10. 5, 10, whatever. And it'll be first down. Actually, it's now set. It'll be first and... It was from that point, so first and 22, the odd placement. Right side hash mark, moving left to right. Cubs with Gator Wilson at quarterback. So they've lost their key feature back, Cody Crawford, before the game started. They lost their starting quarterback here in the first half, but Gator Wilson and the Cubs, they're going more to I formations. Nope, now they're back to their normal Cub offense, blue and gold. They send a man in motion left, give it to the fullback, inside or the H-back stepping in. Flags down. It wasn't a big pickup there by Devin Wilson. That was a tailback, excuse me. He might have gotten banged up a little bit. He's coming up, getting up slowly. So
official timeout.
Officials are going to call timeout. He's on his feet. I think he may have just gotten his bell rung a little bit. Let's see. The trainer heading out. We're going to take a quick break. Are we? Yeah, we're going to take a quick break, 30 seconds. There's going to be a face mask call, I think, on the hit. So that'll be a big one, and they'll mark that off against Red Bluff. Back in 30 seconds, this game on KCNR.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need to get treated, not seated. Shasta Regional Medical Center is located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading. They have emergency room doctors and staff that guarantee you will be seen by a medical professional within 30 minutes of your arrival. Shasta Regional Medical Center believes in delivering patient-centered health care with compassion and respect for every patient and their family.
North State High School Football, exclusively on KCNR AM 1460.
So this drive has been dominated by mistakes by Red Bluff, big ones. A player ejected for a very, very late hit on the sideline, and now a face mask. So the Cubs have it in Red Bluff territory. Spartans defensively, 44-yard line of the Spartans. They go left side. And let's see, did he make the catch? Yes, he did. Pickup of four.
Wilson's pass
complete to Rowdy Cedars off the tight end left side.
About the 40-yard line.
I want to say hello to Anderson's own Baron Browning and family. They're on vacation listening on the live stream. Thank you so much for the kind words. Great to Anderson Cubs fans all over the place listening to the game tonight. I formation now. Again, the quarterbacks, Gator Wilson, short step drop, misses his wide out right side, Teague, and Teague dives and tries to make the catch, but can't come up with it. That was just off the mark. He had him, a nice little button hook over there in a seam in the zone. They look like they're playing some zone over there. They definitely had a spot for him, but couldn't come up with it. So it's an incomplete pass, third down and five, 2:26 now, and complete stops the clock. Cubs up 13-0. Red Bluff has not been able to get it going offensively and defensively. The Cubs have had some pretty solid drives in and out. Let's see what Gator Wilson with the eye will do here. Looking to pass it again. Third down. Has a man. It's complete to Teague. Teague across the middle for the first down. The 35, the 25, the 20. And it's finally brought down at the 29-yard line. But a well-thrown ball by young Gator Wilson. So we're getting a feel for the Gator.
Inside the 20.
Pulling his best Burt Reynolds out there.
Down Cubs.
Stepping in with a long brown hair, making the play and the throw, and well caught, too. They've got size mismatches, at least good size, with Teague and Kroll, who are outstanding receivers coming off terrific years last year. All right, let's see what Gator's going to do here on this one. He's taking the snap. Oh, bobble on the handoff, but picked up on the bounce by Devin Wilson, just like he planned it that way. Right side, that's not actually Devin Wilson, as he goes out of bounds right about the 10 marker. Give credit where credit's due. That was Kroll.
Marquise Crowell, the ball carrier, he gets about the 10
Kroll, but we got a penalty on the play. Kroll came around from the end. You know, they do that misdirection. They'll bring him off the end. It's like giving to the running back. So they're going to mark it off this time against Anderson. So that'll hurt a little bit. Nobody's thinking about kicking field goals. I'm not sure that the, you know, obviously, we know the pretty good field goal kicker for Red Bluff, and we know a solid kicker for the Cubs, but neither of these teams really like to do that. They're going to go for it. First down and 25. Now the ball moved back to the 34. I formation, right side hash mark, way wide left, looking to throw there. Now Gator rolls left, dumps it off, and it's complete. Left side between two defenders. Well caught, well tackled over there. So Teague with the catch, two defenders sandwiched him over there. But I'm impressed with Gator. He does not appear to be rattled up there at all. And see who he has now. It's second down. All of a sudden now you have a second and 18. And you're getting pretty deep. You know, you're on the third, not in the red zone yet, but the 26-yard line. Gator under center now. Play action. Rolling right. He's in trouble. Got to get rid of it. Goes back to his left. Dumps it off. It's almost intercepted. In and out of the hands of the defender there. Gator knew he had to get rid of it. A more experienced quarterback would have probably just thrown it away, way away. He had a big guy over there. And I believe that that was Jaden Magana, the outside linebacker. Took a pretty good hit, but he dropped the ball. It was hitting his hands, and so they're going to call an official's timeout. The trainer's coming out. We'll take a 30-second break. The Cubs dodge one there as the interception dropped by the Spartans. Back with more in this game of the week brought to you by SST Oil on KCNR.
School's out. Spend a day at Turtle Bay. Explore Paul Bunyan's Forest Camp and check out our brand new Forest Adventure Playground featuring a super slide, zip line, and more.
Feed lorikeets from your own hand in the Parrot Playhouse Aviary. See Turtle Bay animals on our Walk on the Wild Side Animal Show. And don't miss out on our summer exhibition, Goosebumps, the Science of Fear.
Access is free for members and included with admission. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
You're listening to High School Football on KCNR AM 1460.
Our game of the week brought to you by SST Oil. Back to action. Third and 18 on the 25 now, and Red Bluff's going to call a timeout. They got the formation and decide to go with the timeout. So, you know, you're having a tough time stopping Red Bluff. I mean, it's not been very consistent, but we're going to check the scoreboard, of course, at halftime. But let's recap what's happened in this game. First drive of the game for Anderson. They took over, and they tried to throw the ball pretty much every play. And hooking up starting quarterback Mason Fuentes with Kroll. Marquise Kroll went 44 yards for the score, and with 10:44 to go, the point after made it 7-0. And Devin Wilson capped a nice drive with 9:10 to play in the second quarter. PAT failed. So here we go. Back to action. 32 seconds. Red Bluff on defense. Anderson I formation. Gator looks to throw. Right side it's complete, but nothing doing. Teague is tripped up over there by the defender with very little gain. I believe that was Cedars over there. Kamari Talley on the stop. So they're going to go for it on fourth. 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7. Let's see what the plan is. They're going to be able to get it off. Now they're going to let the clock expire. We'll call timeout with one. Okay. So the Cubs call timeout with 1 second. We'll keep it here because we'll be taking our halftime breaks in a few minutes. But as I mentioned, the second scoring play, Devin Wilson, a 6-yard run, made it 13-0. It's not been a big game, not on turnovers. Anderson was down close to the goal line, went for it on fourth and goal, so it could easily be 20-0 had they been able to convert there. Red Bluff just has not been able to get in sync offensively. Obviously, we know they have the tools. They're going to be hamstrung a little bit in the second half with Ortega out of the game, but they still have a variety of backs there. You've got Robinson and Brown and Gunna, Talley, Miller all can play back there. The big guys are their receivers. And the other Ortega, Caleb, Clyde Shaver, and Shank all could be factors if Eli Wiebe can just get on the same page with them. So they're going to actually go for a field goal. Cubs are going to try for three. Hey, nothing ventured, nothing gained, they say. Gator Wilson will hold the snap. Ball is placed on the 32-yard line. The left-footed kicker, Melendez, gets it off. It's up. It is long enough, but it's wide to the left. Well, we know he's got the leg for it. As time expires, they gave it a shot, but they'll have to settle for a 13-0 lead. Anderson Cubs on top of the Red Bluff Spartans at halftime here at Bob Reed Stadium. We'll be back with the score updates and more here at halftime of our Game of the Week brought to you by SST Oil. It's that time again to get maintenance on your heaters. SST Oil sponsoring our Game of the Week on KCNR.
SST Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SST Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows. Stay warm and cozy with Toyotomi and SST Oil. 241-1167. 241-1167.
Hi, I'm Dan Scott, owner of Eagle Eye Painting. Spring is traditionally a time for home improvement projects. A new paint job is a great place to start. At Eagle Eye Painting, we handle interior, exterior, and cabinets. Plus, we offer minor repairs for drywall and dry rot. We are fully licensed, bonded, insured, and do residential and commercial painting. Please visit our website at danscottpainting.com and read the customer reviews. Then give us a call at 400-5152 to schedule a free estimate. We would love the chance to do a great job for you. Call us today, 400-5152, Eagle Eye Painting.
Hi, this is Linda Bott, and I'm excited to tell you about the first annual Women's Leadership Summit. It's a one-day conference for all women leaders. The summit will focus on supporting women aspiring to step more into their sphere of influence and those who have fully embraced their position as a powerful leader in their community. We're excited to provide a forum to recognize, inform, and champion the work being done by women in this Northern California region. Following the speakers will be your Expo pop-up shop from 4 to 6 p.m. with a no-host bar and music by DJ Bobette. Come be inspired at the first annual Women's Leadership Summit. That's September 14th with a pop-up shop in the downtown atrium. For more information about this fabulous event, go to thewomensleadershipsummit.com and see you there.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that with proper care and just a little discipline should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dinner. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant. Or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
You're listening to High School Football on KCNR AM 1460.
Welcome back to our Game of the Week, brought to you by SST Oil tonight from Anderson High School. Cubs on top of the Spartans of Red Bluff, 13-0. Interesting first half. Cubs scored on their opening drive, a 44-yard touchdown pass from Mason Fuentes to Marquise Kroll. And Fuentes was later injured in the first half and replaced by Gator Wilson. Devin Wilson capped a drive with a six-yard run with 9:10 gone in the second quarter to get a 13-0 lead. Red Bluff, with their experienced quarterback, just hasn't been able to click offensively yet. They had some moments where they had guys open. There have been some drop balls, just one where you can tell they're just a little bit off, and if they can get into sync, they can make this game a game very quickly. Now, the Cubs showed that they do have a guy with a pretty good leg. At the end of the half, they sent Brian Melendez out to try a 42-yard field goal. He had plenty of length on it. He just kicked it wide to the left, and that's how we went to the break. So let's take a look at some scores elsewhere throughout the North State. Try to give you some that we haven't given you yet. Not getting tons of updates, so we're going to check the NorCal scores on Twitter here in just a minute. But the Max Prep score shows Lassen just drilling Las Plumas 34-0. Now Biggs 27-0. That one's in the second quarter. Lassen's game is at halftime. Biggs beating Hamilton 27-0. Shasta, we've got an update there, leading Corning 20-0. That's in the second quarter. So it looks like the Wolves at home are going to bounce back from their loss last week to West Valley. West Valley taking it on the chin right now at Foothill, 14-0 in the second quarter. Pleasant Valley on top of Yuba City 10-7 at halftime, so they got a field goal. And then U Prep underway. I don't have a score on that. Let's take a look at the NorCal scoreboard on Twitter, which is a place that you can also keep an eye on scores. That's where people who are at the games even will use that hashtag. Check some of the other scores for you that we can find out there. Biggs now 33-0 at halftime in their game. That one's from Justin Couchette Sports. Hey, Francesca Carrera, our old friend, she was an intern of ours. I know she's helping out Shasta County Sports. And Pierce leading the Panthers 21-7, so she's at that game. That one is, not sure, in the second quarter. Chico and Sack of Exchange, 3-0 lead. They scored on a field goal, and that's the only score so far in that one. Let's see if we've got any others for you. East Nicholas leading Paradise 12-7. Reading Christian up 6-0. Those scores from the Reading Searchlight. Those are all by way of the Twitter feeds. And I will try to post ours when I can, but I'm a little bit busy. Aren't you busy listening? Anyway, it's been a fun opening half. We're really expecting Red Bluff to start kind of getting their bearing straight. You can hear the fans cheering for the cheerleading squad of the homestanding Anderson Cubs. Nice job done out there by the squad of Riley Burris, who's the head coach of that cheer squad. All right, well, we're going to take another break here. We are at halftime. A lot of football left to be played on a beautiful, beautiful late August night here in Anderson, California. 13-0, our score at halftime. Tonight's broadcast brought to you by our friends at SST Oil. You're listening to the Game of the Week on KCNR.
North Valley Distributing, a local electrical wholesaler, has been in business since 1983, serving Northern California, Southern Oregon, and Western Nevada. North Valley Distributing is a major supplier for the industrial and construction markets with same-day delivery. North Valley Distributing, a local electrical wholesaler on Crossroads Drive right here in Reading. Call 222-1500. That's 222-1500.
Mary Shelley's spine-tingling classic comes to the Reading stage in all its theatrical glory. Riverfront Playhouse is proud to present Frankenstein, written by Mary Shelley, adapted by Andrew Billiter, directed by Matt McDonald. Tickets at riverfrontplayhouse.net or at Enjoy the Store in Reading. Showtimes Friday and Saturday, 7:30, Sunday matinees at 2, September 21st through October 19th. Come see a show unlike anything you've seen on the Riverfront stage before, if you dare.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
We're Billy and Patrick, and we love 0% APR financing.
And that's what you'll get at Redding Kia during the Kia Summer Sales Event. Don't pay the bank one penny to borrow when you can take home a brand new award-winning 2019 Kia Sorento or 2019 Kia Optima.
It's 0% APR for 75 months. That's the best finance offer ever from Kia Motors. Keep your cash in the bank. Go no money down on approval of credit. Pay it off anytime you'd like.
It's so simple. It's free money. 0% APR for 75 months on all brand new 2019 Kia Sorentos and all 2019 Kia Optimas.
And every new Kia comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty.
Act fast. This deal won't last.
0% APR for 75 months is $13.33 per 1,000 finance. Must finance through KMF for this offer on approval of credit. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. See Kia.com or retailer for details.
Billy is the marketing director for Redding Kia.
Ends 8/28/2019. Redding Kia. RedingKia.com.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
For over 45 years, Clyde's Home Entertainment is the place people turn to for locally owned expert advice on electronics that turn your home into a theater. Clyde's goes the extra mile for their customers. They have a huge selection of audio and video accessories and equipment. Whether it's the latest 4K television or a hard-to-find accessory, Clyde's is the place for all your home electronic needs. Clyde's is a full-service dealer for Samsung, Klipsch, Yamaha, LG, and more. They offer full-service Dish Network. Be sure to ask about the current monthly specials. The original, and still the best, Clyde's Enterprises, 1250 Hartnell and Reading. They have it all. 221-4144. That's 221-4144. Clyde's.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
Hi, I'm Robin Fader, co-executive director of the Reading Fashion Alliance. We are hosting the 2019 Reading Fashion Week starting September 6th with a trunk show at Carousel Boutique. The fashion show gala featuring several local fashion designers and models is happening September 7th at the downtown Reading Atrium. We are featuring a fashion lounge, DJ, drinks, and hors d'oeuvres. Support small businesses in Reading on Shop Local Night, September 12th from 4 to 8 p.m. We will wrap up Reading Fashion Week with an opening reception for the iconic fashion exhibit at Turtle Bay Exploration Park, featuring designer fashion from the collection of Alita Carpenter. On September 13th from 6 to 9 p.m. We have so many great events. Get tickets and more information at www.readingfashionalliance.org. We can't wait to see you at Reading Fashion Week, beginning September 6th.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living, and wanted to share some thoughts from Dave Sudhalter about his experience having his mother-in-law, Mary Ann, move here to River Commons.
Originally, my mother-in-law wanted to live on her own, and she really wanted to be independent. River Commons has really made that possible for her to not only remain independent, but to actually grow and to thrive. There's just such a big difference in her peace of mind and her well-being, and that's what we really wanted. It's really been the solution for her to come here, and it was her idea after looking at some other options. When she came here, it was an easy choice for her. She's really happy she did. She feels like she's home. It's enriching. She's meeting new people, really enjoying herself, and that's really what it's all about.
Call today and schedule a tour or luncheon a tour and see for yourself why our residents love living here at River Commons. Call 221-2121 or on the web at river-commons.com.
Market volatility has become a fact of life. What does this mean for your investments? Are you aware of and prepared for the risks volatility poses to your portfolio? Should you consider changing your specific holdings or the mix of assets in your account?
Rick Hill and Rory Greek Financial Advisors, the Pathfinder Group at Morgan Stanley, can give you insights about these and other questions and can also suggest strategies that may help better prepare you for the market's ups and downs.
Please call Rick Hill or Rory Greek Financial Advisors at the Redding, California branch at Rick Hill or Rory Greek at 223-4200.
Investments and services are offered through Morgan Stanley Smith Barney, LLC. Member SIPC.
Have you been looking to purchase or refinance a home? Allow the team at Omega Mortgage Group to show you why so many of your friends and family, realtors and escrow officers, refer their clients to Omega Mortgage Group. Our low rates, simple application, fast escrows, and outstanding service really speak for themselves. Contact Omega Mortgage Group today at 223-1400 or visit us at omglending.com. Omega Mortgage Group is an equal housing lender. NMLS ID number 1253874.
This is Carl Lindabot, and there is only one place you will find a new Sleep Number dual temp layer bed. That's right, Sleep Number in Redding. Be sure to go in and see them in a Target shopping center next to the Vitamin Shop. My Sleep Number is 40, and I feel great.
Right now, they're making room, so go in and receive huge savings on all Sleep Number memory foam and I-Series bed sets. My Sleep Number is 55. Go find yours today. Sleep Number in the Target Center next to the Vitamin Shop.
SST Oil on Windham Lane in Redding, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SST Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows. Stay warm and cozy with Toyotomi and SST Oil. 241-1167. 241-1167.
Our title sponsor for North State Now is the Redding Civic Auditorium. The Redding Civic Auditorium brings a wide variety of shows to the North State. Go to RedingCivic.com and join their mailing list for free. Get early access to tickets and first dibs on the best seats in the house. Grab a drink with friends at the fully stocked bar or locally roasted coffee, snacks, and other beverages at the River Rock Cafe. If you want to know about the best concerts coming to the North State, go to RedingCivic.com to learn more.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Do American citizens that get up and go to work every day deserve their own special holiday? This is ControlTheGovernment.com. In 1884, we selected the first Monday of September as Labor Day, a holiday to honor American workers. And this tribute is well deserved. No other nation in history has achieved the wealth and success of the United States. American workers have contributed to our strength, prosperity, and overall blessings. No matter the job, no matter the position, dedicated American workers not only support their families and our economy, their innovative achievements make our country great. This Labor Day, let's celebrate the only country in history with a charter stating that the very existence of citizens is in a state of God-created freedom. Any American who has a dream has the freedom to try to make it happen. And every day, you do. Good job, America. Discover more at ControlTheGovernment.com. That's ControlTheGovernment.com. Engage in the solution.
Have you been involved in any type of accident and don't want to go through your insurance company? Well, bring it to Maaco and get it fixed at a fraction of the cost. Is your paint faded, peeling, or even scratched up? You may think it's way too expensive to have painted. Well, think again. Bring it to Maaco here in Reading and get a professional paint job and save big with their $4.99 special. Maaco also has interest-free loans for up to a year OAC. Maaco, America's Body Shop, 3045 Crossroads Drive. Uh-oh, better call Maaco. 226-0992. Remember, it's your choice where you go to have your vehicle repaired. Insurance companies may try to steer you to their recommended shop. This saves the insurance company money, not you. Call Maaco for uncompromised quality, quick turnaround times, and all work is backed by the National Maaco Warranty. Maaco, America's Body Shop. Stop in at 3045 Crossroads Drive or call 226-0992. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco, 226-0992.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Thanks for your patience, folks. We were off the air with some technical difficulties, but the World Wide Web has granted us the favor of access once again in Red Bluff on their opening drive of this half. They've just called a timeout after marching the ball, starting on their own 20 down to the 12-yard line, I believe. Nope, I am going to get that correct. 20. Obviously, we were trying to work it around the 15-yard line right now. They just called a timeout to give us a break so we can get you caught up. We're so sorry that we had the difficulty right in the middle of a commercial break. Our lovely computer stopped speaking to the Internet, so I happen to have another computer, and that's just amazing, isn't it? So here we are. Let's set the stage for you. We're at Bob Reed Field, Stadium, in Anderson, California, Shasta County. Longtime rivals of the Cubs are the Red Bluff Spartans. Now, in that first half, the Spartans' vaunted quarterback, Eli Huibe, just couldn't get in sync with his receivers. Well, that has changed here in the third, as he has hooked up with Clyde Shaver on a couple of long plays, one a 40-yard play, and now with a second and two on the 12, or the 14, excuse me. Let's see what they do. Give it to the inside back. He's battling. They've got a first down, still on his feet and near the goal line, but stopped just short is Jaden Magana. So whatever Orlin Culp said to his offensive line in that first half, let's just say that it hit home because they've been protecting and they've been making room. So Wiebe the quarterback. He's in the short shotgun. Gives it to Magana, and this time he is in. Jaden Magana off the right side. It was a short one, a two-yard run. And with 8:56 to go, I told you that, boy, once Eli Wiebe gets going, gets in sync, they are going to be dangerous. And a couple of nice pass plays. I mean, Anderson was tough with them, but now they're going to set up to kick the point after. Aaron Rodriguez, a very good kicker, as we mentioned before. He was 19 of 21 on PATs last year. Rodriguez is 5'9", 145-pounder. We'll be holding the snap. The kick is up, and the point after is good. So, something to cheer about on that Spartan sideline. The green and Vegas gold is on the scoreboard, cha-ching. 13-7 now. And I said, if they can get their passing game going, Red Bluff's going to be dangerous. You can never count them out. So the Anderson Cubs now going to have to do a little gut checking here on defense. And hopefully their offense can give them a drive and get it going. And we never did mention the coaching staffs. Orlin Culp, more than three decades as a coach. His assistants, Taylor Hickson, Dan Ackley back with the club. Derek, you may remember, was the head coach at Los Molinos, that great 2018 section team. Wade Kittle, Colin Ramirez, Billy Soda, and Chris Holt, Carlos Mendoza, all coaches on the Red Bluff staff. For Coach Trotter, Randy Gilbert, of course, longtime defensive coordinator, Matt White, Allie White, Mario Trotter, the oldest son there of head coach Don, Rick Russell, the athletic director. We thank Anderson for making things comfortable for us here tonight. And Mother Nature did it, too. It's a beautiful night. And we got some football going on, folks. Now let's see what Red Bluff's going to do coming out. The Spartans send Evan Hobbs out. Nope, excuse me. I misspoke. It is their primary kicker, Aaron Rodriguez. Teeing the ball up on their 40. For Anderson, it's Devin Wilson and Christian Teague. Both big factors in that first half. So Red Bluff kicking right to left in this half, this quarter. Foot to leather. Boy, a good kick. It's going to go all the way back to fielded on the two. Actually backpedaled into the end zone is Teague. He now cuts the corner left side. Now he's got a little bit of room. Beats one tackler across the 35, 40. Is he still alive? Finally dives out of bounds after being hit from behind at the 48. And that was all Christian Teague. It was all Teague. Christian Teague ran hard all the way up to the... I mean, he had some great blocks. They never gave up on it. But, you know, in high school, it's not every day that you're actually fielding one from your end zone. He actually fielded it in bounds on the about the one, but was backpedaling, so he's running out of his end zone. So technically, it's going to be about a 45-yard return because they won't count those two steps he went back. All right, now we understand that Mason Fuentes not expected back. We don't know the nature of the injury. We do know he was on the sideline, did not have to be helped off the field. First play is a pass across the middle, a bit of a dangerous one to Marquise Kroll in quadruple coverage back there. Looked like they were zoning up deep, and the flag is down. Gator Wilson came in to replace Fuentes and has done a terrific job. Eric Chestnut comes in the backfield with Wilson. They were using the H-back formation primarily with a single setback until Gator came in. Then they went to the I formation. Now they're going to walk off a penalty, and that hurts Red Bluff. A couple of guys with their helmets down, and, you know, you don't want to You don't want to get there. You don't want to go there. If you're Red Bluff, you've got to keep your spirits up here because they just took old Mo is back in their court right now after that touchdown. But Gator Wilson in the pistol, looking to throw. They're sending some folks. Dragged down from behind, he just swallows it up. On the hunt there was Seth Miller. They brought some people there, and I think that would certainly not surprise me to see more of that, especially with Anderson throwing on first down quite a bit tonight. An inexperienced quarterback in Gator Wilson, and that was an example of he didn't have a time to even find anybody a secondary receiver. So it's a loss of about 8-9, call it 9, second and 19. Still in Red Bluff territory, though, 48-yard line. The receiver in motion right to left, but ball start up on the line. They were sending Cedars in motion from the wideout position. And so now the play comes in. Don Trotter sends it in now with Christian Teague. Teague, the senior wideout, had 6 receptions last year, 20 yards per catch. Marquise Kroll had 29 receptions last year. Of course, that was a team that relied heavily on Mr. Parker Phillips. Give it to the tailback. That is Devin Wilson. Find some room off the right side. We got a flag down. Wilson picked up, got maybe 5 or 6, 7, I think, but let's see who it's against. I think the Cubs are expecting it to be against them. And indeed, they will mark it off. Let's see. The original, that line of scrimmage was back on the, they'd then been pushed back to their own 47. Now they're going to walk it off from there. A holding, yeah. You could tell Devin Wilson saw it himself when the official, they looked at each other. That's a tough one there. So Spartans hurt themselves with some big penalties in the first half. Cubs, maybe, you know, in danger of returning the favor. We'll just have to see. This is a big second and 24. The good news is, right, you don't lose a down. Bad news is you got to get all the way to the 30 of the other guy. That's not 24. That's a whole bunch. That's 37 yards, excuse me. They tried to do a little draw and nothing doing. Nobody bit on that. Devin Wilson couldn't get anywhere. Picked up maybe a yard. So they have 36 yards to go. 11, 20. I'm counting them out in my head. Yeah, about 30, 37 yards to go. Ball placed inside, well, about the 39 and a half of Anderson, the Cubs on offense. Gator has Devin Wilson behind him. Quick throw, screen out in the flats, left side, complete to Kroll. Marquise brought down after a nice pickup, basically a catch and run over there. It wasn't even a screen. It was just a naked play, and he was able to get down to the cross midfield to the 45, 46. In on that hit was Leslie Shank on defense. So it'll be fourth down, 45-yard line. They're looking like they're going to come out and punt the ball. Now let's see. Now Fuentes was their punter, so they have a backup punter in right now. Or maybe Mason's able to punt. So it could be his aunt. Let's see who that is. Excuse me, it is not. So the kick is off. It's a good one. Nice running rugby kick right side by Nikolai Keeling. Keeling, a good punt. I saw the 3 and didn't see the other number. He wears number 32, if you were wondering. It's downed inside the 20, so a pretty good job by Keeling with his first punt of the year. And it'll be first and 10, Red Bluff in their own territory on the 27-yard line with 5:38 to play here in the third quarter. 13-7, your score. This is the game of the week brought to you by SST Oil. Thanks for joining us tonight. The Anderson Cubs out of the CIF Northern Section Division III Northern League trying to hold off the Red Bluff Spartans out of the Division II, the Eastern League. They give it to tailback left side, spinning around. Magana doesn't have anything stood up, pushed back, and finally dropped. Eric Chestnut comes out of the middle linebacker position to greet him there. Seth Miller comes in with a play now. They like to throw the ball out of any formation, any time, any down. But looks like they've settled in. Ortega is out of the game, if you missed that. In the first half, was thrown out for an unsportsmanlike conduct late hit. So Magana's been carrying a lot of that load in the offset back position to the left of the right-handed quarterback. Low snap again. He's got a pocket falling all around him, and it squishes him, finally trips him up for a big loss. There was just no way to scramble out of that. He dropped for about a 9-yard, 8-yard loss. It was just circling him. It wasn't one side failing. It brought a little bit from the edge. I think it was just beating the outside tackles, really. It wasn't a big blitz and just, just good push up front. So now let's see what Eli can do. He's back at the normal, at the deep shotgun position. Again, a bad snap. Colton Brewer's been struggling out of that shotgun on the snaps, and you can hear the band going. Normally the band's not playing when the actual action's happening, but who am I to say? Nice little crowd tonight. Wherever you are around the globe, we appreciate you listening in. Anderson Cubs leading 13-7. Red Bluff showing some signs, but now they're in a heap of trouble up against their own end zone after the penalty, rolling right, throwing downfield. It's caught. A beauty. Devin Wilson makes the hit, but a terrific catch over there by Caleb Ortega, 6'3", 185-pound tight end. He caught 7 balls last year for 61 yards, but he went up to get it. We saw the good arm there by Eli Whitty, and so now they're going to have to do something. It's fourth down and a whole bunch still, so they're going to have to kick it. Or are they? No, they're going to go for it. So they've got a power formation, so a deep back behind, and they're going to, I think they're going to call timeout now, they being Red Bluff. Yeah, they showed that rugby kick formation where you can, you've got the quarterback in the up back position. You've got the kicker behind him, so you can either direct snap it to Eli, or you can snap it to the deep back, and he can do a running punt. Not huge razzle-dazzle, but they have a very good punter, so you know it seemed a bit risky to just show that. Maybe they just wanted to see what Anderson would line up and do. But got a couple of guys on the sideline now on crutches. That's not good for Anderson. The one guy who was already there that they're counting on a lot is Cody Crawford. And now it looks like that Mason, who I didn't really see them tending to any part of his body, and we try not to, you know, to guess, but I can see he's there now on crutches, and he's got his right knee, looks like, iced up. And so now they have their potentially all-North State punter, Aaron Rodriguez, standing on his own 10-yard line, and the Cubs aren't messing around. There's nobody back. They're bringing the house. They're also prepared. They're basically showing their defense. They're basically expecting a fake. So in the up-back position, I believe that's Braden Robinson. It is. So he's kind of an all-purpose guy anyway. He can do a little bit of anything. The blue and gold defenders, they're showing defense. So if it's a punt, now they're going to send somebody back. It looks like Teague's going to go back. They had to line up in case. And the snap's over! His head over Rodriguez's head. He's in the end zone. He tries to punt it. It's on the 1-yard line block. Scrumming around. What will happen? Anderson has the ball. Just shy of the goal line. And we've got a penalty down there. But man, oh man, has Red Bluff struggled with the snap tonight. The one thing you didn't want to have happen. It was over Rodriguez's head. He did what you got to do. He tried to kick it. It went off the defender, so it was technically a blocked punt. So then somebody's just got to down it, got to get on it. The Cubs were on it. It's going to be their ball no matter what, right? But the ball was just outside the goal line, and now they're trying to – let's listen in. Ah, that's tough luck for the Cubs. A bad penalty, a personal foul call. So somebody, you know, did push somebody or punt, you know, something happened in that scrum. So instead of having it first and goal from the 1 foot line or whatever, it's now first and goal from the 16 yard line. Let's see what they do. They're bringing a little bit of a different formation here. Again, the eye, they pitch it right side to Devin Wilson. Gets out of bounds at about the 9 yard line, so pickup of 7. Nice little pitch off the tail. And they ran it quick. So it's set up as an option, but I think it was just a straight pitch. And see where Kroll goes. Marquis Kroll to the near side. So they're on the right side hash mark, just inside the 10. Kroll's there. Inside him at the tight end there, strong side right, is Rowdy Cedars. I formation. So Wilson is behind, and they give it to Wilson, who was following Schubert off the right side. Gets down near the 5. They're laying hats on each other down there, I'll tell you that. A whole bunch of Spartans met that one. Devin Miller leading the way, I think, on that hit. In fact, Miller's going to check out now. Marara coming in. So they're going big up front. First and goal now. No, that can't be right. Well, I guess I had that wrong. They didn't have the markers set up right. So now it's first and goal from the 6. I guess they did have a first and 10 back there. That's Devin Wilson. Bounces off the right side tackle, then scoots back left up the middle for the touchdown. The Cubs offensive line doing what it does, pushing forward, making room, and Devin Wilson doing what a good back must learn to do, that is hunt and peck and dash into the spot when it opened. A 6-yard run with 2:24 to go. It's 19-7, and now the left-handed, left-footed, I'm not sure if Brian Melendez is left-handed, but he's left-footed, kicker Melendez will go for the point after here. He's 1-for-2 tonight. It was not his fault when the block happened. That one's a line drive, no doubt about it. It's good. So, 20-7, Anderson does not let momentum slip from their grasps. They are able to right the ship and follow their big line to pay dirt. It's 20-7 with 2:24 to go, taking a 30-second break. Game brought to you by SST Oil on KCNR.
Hey, guys, I'm Bob the Drop. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. The boy was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
North State High School football comes your way on KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
20-7 is our score now. Red Bluff and Anderson trade touchdowns to start things off in the second half. Red Bluff got some momentum, got their passing game moving, came up with a big play. They had momentum and then kind of got hangdog looking there after a couple of mistakes. And Anderson was able to just keep powering behind that big line. And their backup quarterback, Gator Wilson, Devin Wilson, the guy picking and finding the spots, nice receptions. They're just really good, solid balance on offense. So now Melendez is going to kick off, standing on the goal line to return is Magana. It's short of that. Up back takes it at the 10, 15, now breaking a tackle, stiff-armed and finally brought down. It might have been Colton Delgado. Let's see. I believe that was Colton Delgado on the return.
All the way out to midfield, taken down by Brian Melendez, the kicker.
The kicker made the tackle. That's never good, right? You never want the kicker to have to make the tackle, but he's a broad-shouldered kid. So let's see if Red Bluff is, or rather if Anderson's made any adjustments on defense, because Red Bluff's got things now. Midfield, almost nose on the 50. Nose is on the 50, in fact. And their star quarterback, Eli, has a deep back behind him, and he gives it to Magana. Magana pecks and finds a hole left side, follows his blockers. Brought down after a pickup of about four. Christian Teague on the stop, leading the way. A couple of guys took him down. Got to know where Clyde Shaver is on the field anywhere, because he's been the big receiver for them. He's left side, their right side hash mark now, moving into Anderson territory. Eli rolling, gives it to that second back through. Again, Ghana. Greeted by a host, short of the first down. It's third and two. Tackle made on that play by Hayden Dromheiser, senior, 5'10", 170-pounder. So, again, they've got a deep back behind the quarterback who's in the short shotgun, and he has a blocker to his right. Play action this time. Uh-oh, trouble, got to get rid of it. It's incomplete. That was a dangerous throwaway. But the Cubs' defense was in the backfield right away. And they brought, who was that that got in? Oh, Colton Pardee, the tackle. He's a senior. 5'11", 182-pounder. So that's just incomplete. So it's fourth and two. They're going to go for it, expectantly. Jaden Magana to the left of the quarterback. He's got a slot to the right and a wide receiver. Follows the blocker himself and the quarterback keeper, Eli, up the middle or off the right side, gets enough room to get the first down. So Red Bluff starting to mix things up a little bit, showing a different formation. I try to paint it for you. Everybody calls these offenses different things. He's not running an option out of this. He's essentially running straight eye stuff from a deep back slot. I'm sure the Spartans have a fancy name for it. I just try to tell you who's where. Quarterback's there. Play action. Looking to throw. Two men chasing, four men in blue chasing. Now throws downfield, overthrows, and I believe that was probably the plan. A flag has been thrown late, and it might be something late because the Cubs look unhappy. They defended well. They were in the backfield. The front was chasing. They didn't send anybody. That was they just got through. Let's listen. Oh! Oh! Wow, those are two you don't see every day to offset each other. An ineligible receiver downfield for Red Bluff. And then roughing the passer against Anderson. So let's just shake hands and try again. They're on the right side hash mark. It's first and 10 on the 38. Eli back in the gun, man to his left, two receivers to the right on the short field. Crossing towards midfield, dropping the ball, is Clyde Shaver. He may have seen what was awaiting him directly in front of him. Defending was Rowdy Cedars, who's playing a lot of snaps on defense now. With Fuentes out, Cedars has been in, and they've matched up. The guys both wear number 11. Rowdy Cedars. And the guy he's been covering, Clyde Shaver. 27 seconds to go in this quarter. Looking to throw down the left sideline. It's complete. Knocked down at the 5-4-yard line. Are they saying it's complete? Yes, they are. That was just a terrific catch by Shaver, because I'm not sure it was put where it was wanted to be, where they wanted it to be put. He had two defenders there. Beat the one man to come back and get the ball. Now with 20 seconds to go. And the irony of my producer will appreciate this. The irony that my battery is dying. Don't worry. Don't worry, Jared. I'll plug it in. We had to change computers. So here we go. First and goal. They give it off right side. Is he in for the touchdown? Indeed. The Spartans now have answered. My, doesn't this sound a little bit more like a Red Bluff Anderson game? Jaden Magana with a touchdown. And it's 20-13. You got a good kicker here, Rodriguez. The snap's been the problem, but let's see. They've got to hustle to get the guy, and they're going to try to kick the point after. No sense in messing around. Oh, we've got a flag. It might be a delay. Let's see. Yeah, 5-yard penalty, so they'll just move Rodriguez back. So that was a terrific pass, a catch by Shaver. Got to give him credit. He just stayed with the play, and that set up that short run by McGanna with 6 seconds to go. Snaps down, point after is up, and it's good. So it is now 20-14. We're near the end of the third quarter, so that ought to tell you where we are. Boy, I sure hope that thing's going to charge there, Jared. We got new equipment. New equipment. That's the way it goes. Hey, it's good to have equipment. I could be standing here just hollering it out at you. I'm just kidding. I have no fear now. We got it plugged in. 6 seconds to go. Third quarter. We've got a football game on our hands, folks, as predicted. Over the years, I mentioned to you earlier, you know, these games tend to be shootouts. Oh, somebody's going to score a lot of points. Last year was an example when Anderson wins at 31-28. And something about this matchup. Nobody quits. Cubs trying to overcome an injury to their starting quarterback. Red Bluff trying to overcome a probably an equally emotional, if not disappointing, loss of one of their star two-way players, Brendan Ortega, kicked out of the game. It's now, can the defenses stop the offenses? As we're now set to kick off at the start. It looks like they're going to go with a single man deep right now on the kickoff return. So Wilson is not back there. They might be anticipating an onside kick. So, yeah, they've sent Wilson with good hands up. They're anticipating an onside kick. I think that would not make sense to me, but let's see. It is not an onside kick, but they do line drive a squibbler. It's fielded on the 5 by Teague, on the 15, rather, by Teague. Straight up the gut. He's dragged down from behind as the horn sounds to end the opening half of play, or the third quarter of play, rather, that tackle made by Xavier Mejia. So we'll go to break with the Anderson Cubs leading 20-14. They have the football on their own 37-yard line. We'll be back with more in a moment. This game of the week brought to you by SST Oil on KCNR.
This is Ted Leidy with the Northern Firearms Instruction Personal Protection Tip of the Day. If you have the ability to park in a garage or carport, do it. Criminals identify dark streets and alleys to target unsuspecting victims who are distracted with loading or unloading packages or children. Another important part of your personal protection plan may be the use of a firearm. If that's the case, give us a call at NFI at 999-1822, or to find and register for one of our popular CCW or other firearm safety courses, visit us online at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Thank you.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
North State High School Football, exclusively on KCNR AM 1460.
Well, let's see what the Cubs now have for you as we start the fourth quarter. Anderson up 20-14. Some movement up front on first down. In the fourth quarter now, the Cubs will be, they'll walk five off against Anderson. The Cubs going our right to left now, taking it north towards Mount Shasta. Backup quarterback, he's your starter now, Gator Wilson. Has gone. Now, the last two quarters, they both had penalties. In fact, there was also encroachment on one side. There was offsides on the other. It is a spirited matchup annually between these two teams. They got grandpas that talk about this game. Are you kidding me? It's such a good one, they don't even have to give it a fancy name. Christian Teague, wide to the left, right side hash mark. Under center now. Gives it to the tailback through. That's Wilson, and he's a nice pickup, 6 yards. I've been impressed with Wilson. I mean, he's a little guy, 5'7", 181 is what he's listed at. So you go from a Parker Phillips guy last year, or the guy you expect to be your feature back, big Cody Crawford. This little guy has stepped in, and he's had quite a few carries tonight. Eric Chestnut, the fullback now, under center. Looks like they're going to just try to pound and ground and pound now. Let's see. And they do. First down run up the middle. Again, Wilson trying to take advantage of that big offensive line.
Wilson up the middle all the way to the
Use up some of the clock. Keep Redbluff off the field. Trotter sending in the place through his quarterback, and Gator Wilson.
49-yard line. First down, good.
I want to say hello to my good friend Brett Miller, of course, the coach of the Colt 45s. Just let me know they're listening in. And Cushman, yep, you're right, Brett. Cushman's holding his own, isn't he, out there? They got the end around now coming, turning the corner. Oh, my. Kroll beats a man, cuts the corner across midfield to the 45-yard line. Out of bounds. Kroll's done the job. And you know, you already knew that Kroll was going to be something special. I mean, he's a third-year starter, but he puts on some size and is going to really help him. He's just a little bit under 6 feet tall, 5'11", 170, but caught almost 30 balls, caught 29 balls, 5 touchdowns, 612 yards receiving on a really pretty much a rushing offense a year ago. Let's see. Now they're back in the gun. Give it on the inside. Handoff taken down by a host of Spartans is Devin Wilson. Victor Perez was one of those guys. Try to call those defenders names, but when there's three or four of them, my goodness, who are you going to give credit to? Last guy up from the pile. It's usually the name you call, right? Lone setback is Wilson. And they give it to him up the gut. And he breaks free, beats one guy. He's across the 35 down to the 34-yard line. Over 100 yards, I am sure, tonight. Not, he's certainly close to it. This doesn't surprise me, though. Even though Gator has shown good ability to throw the ball, and they do like to throw on first down, at least based on what they're doing tonight. The Cubs need to eat up some clock, and that is precisely what they're doing. So Gator Wilson and Kroll get the play on the sideline. They break their left side hash mark, which, you know, they're pretty close to midfield, from the 34, first and 10. 34 of Red Bluff. They send in motion left to right, Rowdy Cedars. So he's now essentially a slot right with a flanker to his right. They're looking left first, though. Crossing, deep cross, misses Kroll a little bit behind him. Honestly, both Kroll and Ethan Schubert on the left slant end. Schubert was the inside receiver, and he was open. And Kroll was open, but Gator just missed. Unfortunately, he had enough zip on it where he threw behind, and it just deflected off. Because if he were to float that thing, it would have been intercepted. So let's see what they do this time. Kroll is wide to the left all by himself. Strong side is, what is the strong side? Let's see. They send a man in motion. No true strong side. He's an H-back right side. They give it to Devin. Devin, helmet down, pads forward, running like a big back. Inside the 30 to the 28.
Devin Wilson running hard inside the 30.
Ran that one just like a big back. Oh, he did not get a good, he did not get a good spot. Knee must have gone down. So it's at the 30. They need to get to, I'm trying to see where that is. They need about six. Needs about six. H-back off the left is Chestnut. Wide receiver left. Left side hash mark is Kroll. They send Chestnut in motion, so he's now a fullback for Devin. And Devin follows him up the gut. He's getting pushed forward by his offensive line. Not sure what he's going to get out of that. He's going to get some. Will he get enough for the first? Braden Robinson among those at the bottom there. And, yeah, they were going off Cushman and Trotter there again. Wasn't straight up the gut off Peyton, but they're dominating that left side. That's the go-to. They're short. Boy, they got a terrible spot. Wow, they got a terrible spot. Again, I'm up here, so I can't see where the knee goes down. So I'm not saying it was a bad spot. Just it wasn't what I thought it was going to be. So they got fourth and three. What are they going to do? Looking to throw, looking right. Across, it's picked off. Down the left sideline. The quarterback, Gator Wilson, is going to grab him and knock him down. You just saw that happening, just stepping in and making the catch, the interception. That was just one where you could kind of see it developing. The right side, it was play action. You thought they were going to run. He's an inexperienced quarterback, and he probably didn't see the step in. And honestly, I was trying, I'm not sure who got that. If it's Clyde Shaver, I'll try to get that for you here in a minute. But so Red Bluff gets the first turnover of the game. They're going left side, running, picking up three. And certainly not going to bash on the quarterback there. It's just he's probably he's more inexperienced, so he's just not going to maybe see all the field yet. West Valley trailing in this one now, that game. At Foothill trying to come back. We'll get you score updates a little later. All right, so Red Bluff has it second down, 7, on their own 47. Eli gives it to the left side up back. He's around end, but spinning down, flag thrown, knocked out of bounds finally across midfield. I'm not sure what that flag's going to be. It could be a block, could be a face mask. Braden Robinson getting the call there. With Ortega out, you figure there's going to be. Let's listen in.
Blocking the back.
Yeah, blocking the back. Okay. So they're going to repeat the down. It'll be second down and 12 now. You can see it was thrown right at the development on that sweep. So it was a little bit of a reverse sweep to Robinson off the H-back. He went from left to right. Kind of outran his blockers a little bit. So Anderson's going to call their first time out of the second half. We'll take a quick break. Cubs still leading 2014, but the Spartans on the move. We're in the fourth. This game brought to you by SST Oil on KCNR.
So what's scorecard scribbling's all about?
I was scared for my life at that point. I remember looking to the right and seeing all the medical supplies there, and I'm just thinking, are they going to cut off a leg? What are we doing here?
I had a coach that would come up to me on the plane, stick his hand out. I knew what he wanted. Who am I not to give him to him? Like, I thought, okay, job security.
We came to the ballpark every day. We knew we were going to win. It's a great experience, a great feeling to be on a club like that.
Scorecard Scribblings with Brent Weber, Wednesday nights from 6 to 7 on KCNR.
North State High School Football, exclusively on KCNR AM 1460.
Well, first turnover of the game, an interception by Red Bluff. We'll see what this turns out being. Oh, I'm getting you a little bit of background noise. You see that? Sorry about that, Jared. You probably wondered what that was. I'm cheating. I'm looking at the Max Preps website. And it was playing the background music there, of a commercial. Oh, my, we didn't want anybody to hear that. I mentioned a little bit ago, and I'll try to get you up to date here in a moment, on that big attempted comeback. West Valley and Foothill now tied at 14 in the fourth. All right, so Spartans, first down and 15. They throw left side. Nice little quick pass brought down after picking up 7 or 8. Good run after the catch by Clyde Shaver.
Clyde Shaver.
Rowdy Cedars among those on the tackle. Spartans trying to hurry it up now once again. They did this in the first half, and they showed some success with it. Leslie Shank will be wide to the right. It's first and 10 now across midfield. It's at the 46 of Anderson. Maybe has his back to his left. Strong side right, and now we got a whistle off the snap. That formation really sets up well to protect the quarterback when they run and have an H-back and a strong side, so you don't know which way he's going to go to look, but if you just want to drop a pocket in and trust your big receivers, because they're, the Cubs are using man coverage. Kroll, nearest to us, guarding, or rather covering, the right side back. This one thrown left side. A catch made. The defender tried to dive in front and make the catch, but it's complete left side to Shaver. He's got the first down. So Shaver has been one of the big play guys tonight. He's had at least 3 first down catches off the top of my head. So Eli, they're staying on that left side hash mark. Shanks wide to the right. Shaver is wide on the short side to the left. Strong side right, that's your tight end. They blitz, and they throw a quick little slant in, and it is complete over there on the left sideline. Again, Shaver, Red Bluff fans coming alive. Actually, that was Caleb Ortega on the slant in. So working quickly, Spartans trying to see if the Anderson defense isn't showing some signs of weariness. So it's on the 21, first and 10. Spartans moving, 5:06 to go. Left side hash mark, give it to the tailback, McGonough. McGonough's got some room off the left side. Pounds one would-be tackler, and then gets about 4 more after the first contact. They need to get to about the 11-yard line. Ball currently sitting on the 19. Commence the field in very good condition here. I walked at deep grass, thick grass, no hard spots. Low snap, gives it on the play action pass, now throwing it into the end zone. Battle for the football. Who comes up with it? It's on the ground, incomplete. And I got to tell you, it was just a mano a mano. Who was going to come up with it? 11 on 11. Clyde Shaver battling Rowdy Cedars, who's been pressed into duty. And they've been going at Cedars, because once you know, once Mason Fuentes went out, Cedars had to step in on the defensive side of the ball, and he has answered the call. I mean, Shavers had a good game, but Cedars has been right there laying the wood. Eli Webby back to his left. Left side hash mark. Slot left, wide receiver to left. Again has to go down to the ground to pick up the snap. He's got a man crossing over the goal line, though, and it's dropped! Caleb Ortega had separation! Had the ball in both hands. He had simply beaten Christian Teague, and he dropped it. Ouch. That is what Eli can do for you, though. He finds you. He zips it to you. There's no pussyfooting around when he zips it over there. But, again, you're not talking about a guy you don't catch balls from every day in practice. Seth Miller comes in now. He'll go slot right. They're still left side hash mark. Now they're going for it on 4th and 8. On about the 19. They're going to call timeout. Spartans, wisely, if you're not on the right page there, because this is old, this, you know, with 4:06 to go, you may not get the ball back. You honestly might not get the ball back. So they've got to go for it. So they're going to call timeout. We'll keep it right here, kind of set the stage for you. You know, Anderson was on cue in the first half. I mean, they scored on their opening drive, a 44-yard touchdown pass to Kroll, and their defense kept Red Bluff sputtering a little bit. The Red Bluff offense really didn't get going. I mean, they just weren't in sync with their passing game. Devin Wilson scored in the second quarter. It was 13-0. They could have scored a couple of more times. They went for it on 4th and goal to go from the maybe 2-yard line, came up short, and had a 42-yard field goal that was long enough but wide to the left. So it could have been worse for the Spartans. Red Bluff certainly had, I'm sure, a good talking to from their coach, Orland Culp, at halftime, and their passing game began to click. They started trying to pick on substitute players, and you know they didn't find it easy, I can tell you that. But they did get a 2-yard touchdown run with 8:56 to go in the third. But then Anderson came right back, scored. And then Red Bluff scored. So here we are, 20. It's 4th and long, 20-14. He's under pressure, throwing underneath, and again off the fingertips of a would-be receiver out in the short flat. Jaden Magana could not come up with it. That's at least a half dozen in the hands that have been dropped by the Spartans tonight. He had some running room. He would have had a good shot at the first down, and you never know, maybe more. That was the wide side of the field. So now we've had only one turnover. We did have a blocked punt, but that wouldn't be a turnover necessarily. So 20-14, Anderson. Let's see if those big old fellas up front can seal the deal for him. Gator Wilson has two backs behind it. Nope, he has one. That's Devin Wilson. Gives it to him right side. Kind of picks his way through. Picks up 4. Dropped by Seth Miller. Second down, call it actually a better gain than that. He wound up with about 6. So it'll be 2nd and 4. A long 4. All right, so they have single back again. Behind the quarterback, Gator Wilson. H-back to the right, that's the short side. They flip it left side. The screen out there to Cedar. He gets the first down. He eludes another. Boy, he's finally brought down from behind. Good tackle there by Logan Benson, outside linebacker, who stepped up. He's a junior. Now Anderson trying to not hurry it up, but just when you've got a team on their heels, you want to do that. And this is Anderson's strength, the size up front. Cushman Trotter on the right side, and oh, they spun it around, went to the left that time, where Party and Weeks do the dirty work. Good job by Cedars to get that extra yard. Now they're in an I formation. They give it to the tail. Off, bounces off the left side. Not much. Tripped after a gain of two. That was Devin Wilson. Another good tackle. Defensively for Xavier Mejia. I think he's had he stepped in and had a nice game for them. He was not the starter. They've had to make some adjustments as well. All the Spartans have. That's what football is all about, adjustments. Again, we're seeing an I formation now. Left side hash mark, moving right to left. You've got a flanker way wide to the right, strong side right. They give it to the tail, opened up a big hole. Wow. That was a nice hole, right side, just off center. Wow. Wilson's got maybe the first. Yeah, I think he does. You're going to give him the first? Oh, no, he's a little bit short. Just by that much. No, it's more than that, a couple of feet. Third and short. It's a big first down. It's a big down for both these teams. Red Bluff's defense needs a stop here. The clock's ticking. It's a minute 32. It's 20-14. Spartans trailing the Cubs. Cubs eye formation. Gator Wilson has Schubert and Wilson behind him. He gives it to Devin Wilson. Hits a wall at the line, but then scrambles left side forward and has the first. A big first down. He hit a wall right side. That time, Red Bluff's defense stood up the right offensive side. So Devin, just with his hand on his blocker's back, just shucked him, scooted left, got all he needed for the first down to their own 49. And now with a minute 7 and the clock ticking, Anderson not breathing easy yet. But this is a different scenario. So now they got split backs in the backfield, and you're looking at just going to kill that clock and see if the time, I believe the Spartans are out of timeouts. So they're going to take a knee. And let's see. I think the Spartans are out of timeouts. And now it's just about time for Anderson to celebrate. Another knee, and that ought to do it. They're going to let the clock get down as far as they can. Gator Wilson waiting on his coach to tell him when to go, waiting on the official. Now he's looking. I tell you, I think they're doing a gator clap over there on the sideline. Again, taking a knee, and oh my, it wasn't a shootout, but it was still a good old-fashioned Anderson-Red Bluff match. 20-14 the final. The Spartans bounce back in the second half, but Anderson does what they do best. They controlled the line of scrimmage when it mattered the most, and they escape with that 20-14 season opening win. All right, we'll be back to recap tonight's game brought to you by SST Oil. Give you some score updates from elsewhere. Our final score, 20-14, Anderson over Red Bluff. Back of the recap and more in just a moment on KCNR.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, president of We Back the Blue Shasta. Our first responders need your help. PTSD is a crisis in our first responder community. Please remember during the car and campfires how important they were to you, your family, and your business. Today, there are more suicides than line of duty deaths, and we want to change that. Your donations of raffle items and money will help us bring Project Code 9 here to help them identify and treat PTSD. Contact us or donate through our Facebook page at We Back Blue Shasta.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
You know, it can be difficult to find a trustworthy, knowledgeable, and yet affordable auto repair shop. Advanced Automotive is a second-generation, locally owned, full-service repair shop serving our community since 1993, and one of only four AAA-approved auto repair shops in the Reading area. Advanced Automotive has a goal, and it's to keep it simple to have safe, reliable vehicles for our customers and our community. Call or come by to meet the crew who is here to serve you. 244-4423 at Advanced Automotive.
Looking for a home loan? Omega Mortgage Group built its reputation on providing low rates and outstanding customer service. We've worked hard to lower our costs so we can pass those savings on to you. There's a reason so many real estate agents, escrow officers, and other industry professionals refer their clients to Omega Mortgage Group. Contact Omega Mortgage Group today at 223-1400 or visit us at omglending.com and find out for yourself. Omega Mortgage Group is an equal housing lender. NMLS ID number 1253874.
Our title sponsor for North State Now is the Reading Civic Auditorium. The Reading Civic Auditorium brings a wide variety of shows to the North State. Go to readingcivic.com and join their mailing list for free. Get early access to tickets and first dibs on the best seats in the house. Grab a drink with friends at the fully stocked bar or locally roasted coffee, snacks, and other beverages at the River Rock Cafe. If you want to know about the best concerts coming to the North State, go to readingcivic.com to learn more.
North State High School football comes your way on KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
20-14, your final score. Anderson defeats Red Bluff, and the Spartans did battle back. They came up with the only turnover of the game, but they couldn't take it into the end zone. A terrific defensive play in the end zone negate what looked like a touchdown play. Shaver had it kind of ripped out of his hands down there. Nice job by Cedar stepping in for the injured Mason Fuentes on defense, and a terrific job by Gator Wilson. How's that for a football name, huh? Gator stepping in and doing the job as the quarterback for most of this game tonight. We'll give you kind of a rough recap. We don't have statistics for you, but I do recommend you check out the Shasta County Sports website tomorrow or later tonight for all of the team, all the school updates. Those guys do a terrific job, and you can check them out as well. A 44-yard touchdown pass to Kroll from the starter in the game, the guy who left the game with an undetermined leg injury, Fuentes. And Anderson looked great out of the gate. 10:44 to go in the first. They're up 7-0. Red Bluff kind of sputtered. They just couldn't get the offense going. And I said at halftime, if they could just meet in the middle, drop passes, and then overthrown balls, they would be trouble. And indeed they were. Devin Wilson scored to put Anderson up 13-0. It easily could have been 23-0. They were stopped down on near the goal line on fourth down and then had a 42-yard field goal that was long enough but wide to the left. So that gave Red Bluff some breathing room coming out, trailing only 13-0, and they went right at it. They went to the air, and they picked their spots. Clyde Shaver came up with a couple of terrific catches, including a long one, and they wound up getting it in the end zone. Devin Wilson answered back for Red Bluff, or rather for Anderson, and that was it was critical for Anderson's offense. They came back, then once again, the man of the day for offensively for Red Bluff, one of them was Jaden Magana, because that senior, stepped in and took on some extra work and extra role, undoubtedly, with Ortega being out. Jaden did a nice job, and he wound up scoring on a 6-yard run after those pass plays had set it up. They made the PAT. It was 20-14, and they were marching again. But you got to give the Anderson defense some credit, because that wound up being the difference, and then all Anderson needed to do was get a couple of first downs, and they did it. And that was the final, 20-14. When push came to shove, Anderson's offensive line and the play of really a nice cross section of guys. It was a team win tonight. Hey, I have a final for you. You're going to be shocked. You're not going to be shocked. But Joshua Aguilar scored a 2-yard touchdown, and with less than a minute. And yep, indeed, this is coming from Matt Brannon's Record Searchlight feed, gave West Valley the 2014 comeback win over Foothill tonight. Wow. That was a big one. Let's check some more scores for you out there. What we can at least give you, some of them we don't have yet. We know that Reading Christian was leading early, but we haven't seen a final there on that. Maxwell beat Esparto 38-22. Williams over Live Oak 18-6. Del Norte beat Yreka 62-0. Big over Hamilton 40-0. Lassen had a 34-0 lead over Las Plumas start of the second half. That's our last score there. Durham fell to Bradshaw Christian 41-21. Orland had the early lead on Amador, but wound up losing 34-10. Comeback win for Paradise, maybe. We'll see. They're up in the fourth, 35-28 at East Nicholas. Shasta, I think they have righted the ship tonight at home, beating Corning, leading them in the fourth, 53-0. Let's see. We told you about the final here, 20-14. And UPrep did have a lead. I'm going to check some other locations for those scores for you, see what else we've got. Should be seeing some finals coming in on a few of those. Paradise, yep, 35-28, they're up. Let's see what else we can find for you. Bradshaw Christian, yeah, that's a final, 41-21. No, we're just trying to find a few scores that we didn't have for you. Checking my Twitter feed. PV, let's see. PV, did they hold on to beat Yuba City? Well, not. Don't have a final on that one yet, I guess. Oh, yeah, here's the one. Our friend Francesca Carrera, former intern of ours, of mine anyway, is working with the friends at Shasta County Sports. Pierce gets the extra point, so now UPrep's going to fall in this one, it looks like. They're trailing 35-14 now. That was in the second half. I believe they're heading to the fourth there. So that was one of the scores I was looking for. It is a final. Lassen beat Las Plumas 41-6. That's a final score for you. Central Valley got a win tonight. They beat Trinity. Wolves, that was a 26-0 final. Hadn't seen that one. Good job, Shasta County Sports, for that score. So that's about what we've got for you. I'm going to encourage you to check out Shasta County Sports for their website and see if you can get some all the finals and the game recaps, and they can keep you up to date. We appreciate those guys. Well, our game of the week next week is, I think, going to be another really terrific game. And I was just checking one more score for you, folks. Bear with me just a little bit. We do have a couple of games tomorrow that are kind of out of town. But our game next week, I'm expecting it to be a very good one. And I know hopefully you do, too. We'll get our first look at Chris Combs' Enterprise Hornets. As the Hornets will travel to West Valley. So West Valley, 2-0. They're trying to sweep the three local teams in their non-league schedule and see if maybe they are still the beasts to beat in Shasta County. Well, we're going to find out if Enterprise is up to it next Friday night. We'll bring you that game at 7:15 pregame, kickoff at 7:30. Next game for Anderson will be right here at Bob Reed Stadium against Orland. Then they travel to Orville, Las Plumas, their home against Gridley. Then, of course, the South County clash, the big battle at West Valley. And then their home against Lassen. And they've got a couple of other big games, of course, to finish it out. You know all about those. And for Red Bluff, they are home versus Sutter. Oh, ho-hum. You're going to take on the Giants of Sutter next week. That'll be fun for Red Bluff. But, they showed some great signs tonight. And once their passing game got going, they just didn't have the answer up front for the offensive line of Anderson. Then they'll play West Valley, Red Bluff will, and so on. So their schedule builds as the year goes on. But as we mentioned, our game next week will once again be out at the pasture in West Valley as the Enterprise Hornets will visit. I want to encourage you not only to listen to that game, but to also catch Scorecard Scribblings with yours truly, Brent Weber, on Wednesday night on KCNR. We have a variety of guests. Our guests not even lined up for yet this week. We're hoping to talk high school football, but so far we've talked to Major League veteran, Shasta County Hall of Famers, one of the nation's most prolific long-distance competitors, about a big event coming here. We've talked to the author and former NFL player, Ryan O'Callaghan, about coming out and his efforts to be himself. That was a great interview. We've had a lot of fun so far in the show, so we hope you join us on Wednesday nights from 6 to 7 for Scorecard Scribblings. Also like to thank you for listening. I'd like to thank Jared King, the Kingslayer, for doing a wonderful job back there at the station. He gets no sleep. He probably has to be right back there bright and early tomorrow morning. The final score from Anderson High School, where Cub Country is celebrating tonight. Bob Reed Stadium is all smiles as the Cubs wind up winning it by a 20-14 final over the Red Bluff Spartans. I'm Brent Weber. Thanks for joining us tonight. We'll see you next Friday night at 7:15 at West Valley. For now, so long from Anderson.
Right now, of course, it looks like nothing, and people are complaining about seaweed, I think, is what's going on now, because we just never stop complaining these days. But the big storm is coming. They say it may be a Category 4 when it makes landfall, which is big, bad storm. And in Florida, they're making preparations for it. The news media, quite hysterical about everything, because that's what they do. They like to gin things up and make what is already crazy even crazier. That's their job. They're the media. So a lot of stuff to get to today, and then no doubt during the course of our humble broadcast, something explosive will happen and blow everything out of the water. But we do have a tweet of the day that I think I want to start with the tweet of the day. You want to start with the tweet of the day? I think Michael Piercy found, it may be the tweet of the day. There are a lot of tweets every day, so it's hard to say you're going out on a bit of a limb when you say it's the tweet of the day, but this one comes pretty close. What's her name? Titania. Titania. Titania's got to be Titania McGrath. And I'm thinking she's probably a Hillary voter. She's a writer, I'm making quotation marks with my fingers, and she's written a book called Woke, because she's woke, which means she's, aware. She's more woke up than you are. It's they're demolishing the language one word at a time. She's woke, and her book is called Woke, they love their colons, A Guide to Social Justice. They love that. They don't know what those words mean, but they talk about them a lot. And she's got a Twitter account, and she probably shouldn't, but she tweeted out, it's about gender, because, the Democrats are having a lot of trouble with their gender identity. And I think Barack Obama started this, and then Larry Sinclair helped early on. And, Larry Sinclair, everybody forgets about Larry Sinclair. He deserves his own show, I think, somewhere on cable. But she wrote on her Twitter account, let me break this down for y'all. She said, y'all, I'm guessing she might be from the South. Let me break this down for y'all. Lesbians can be non-binary. I was staying up last night wondering about this. I was thinking to myself, self? Can lesbians be non-binary? And I was wrestling. I was counting lesbians jumping over a fence while I was trying to go to sleep last night. And now I have the answer. Right here it is, right here. Let me break this down for y'all. Lesbians can be non-binary. Gay men can be lesbians. Non-binary gay men can be straight lesbians. Straight lesbians can be non-binary bisexuals who are attracted to cisgender non-binary lesbian men. this really isn't difficult. I got to pause there for a sec because, man, it's a terrible, horrible thing, and it's there it is. But there it is, and now I understand. Now here's the rest of the story. See, Tatiana McGrath is a parody account. It's a mock account. But here's the this could be a DNC press release, and that's why it's a good parody, of course, with Tatiana McGrath. Let me break this down for y'all. Lesbians can be non-binary. Gay men can be lesbians. Non-binary gay men can be straight lesbians. Straight lesbians can be non-binary bisexuals who are attracted to cisgender non-binary lesbian men. This really isn't difficult. See, there it is. But the difference between satire and what is not satire now is indistinguishable, of course. It's impossible to tell the difference between... I was reading a story yesterday that was a perfectly serious story that was as close to this as anything you're going to find. Because satire meets reality in 2019, and reality meets satire. And that's kind of the Democratic Party in a nutshell, isn't it? Satire meets reality, reality meets satire. Whew, it is crazy out there. Crazy, I'm telling you. Here it is. What was that? Also, we have another transgender college athlete story today. That is someone who was born male, raised male, became a man, and then became a woman, is now eager to compete as a woman while taking hormones to suppress the testosterone, and, you know, they are complicated people, aren't they? Yes, they are. Is it true that non-binary gay men can be straight lesbians? We're looking into it. Perhaps we can get a subject matter expert on the line for you in the meantime. Sure. Also, the John F. Kennedy assassination, we have an update.
There's only one Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's largest mortgage lender. Let's talk credit card debt for a minute. If you feel you're carrying too much of it, you're not alone. The average household in the U.S. carries over $8,000 in credit card debt. Ready for some good news? With a cash-out refinance from Quicken Loans, you can quickly and easily put some of the equity in your home to good use by paying off a lot of that high-interest credit card debt. A great way to take cash out is with our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.125%, APR 4.22%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN to learn how taking cash out with a 30-year fixed mortgage might be the right solution for you. And for a record 9 years in a row, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Rates subject to change. Pay 0.88% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's the Labor Day sale at Ace. Right now, buy one, get one 50% off on gallons of our top paint and stain brands like Valspar, Clark & Kensington, Cabot Stain, and Magnolia Home Paint. And with our Ace Extra Mile Promise, we'll help you get everything you need to paint in one trip or delivery is free. Don't miss the Labor Day sale. Buy one, get one 50% off our top paint and stain brands. Now through Monday, only at Ace.
Limit 2. Delivery subject to availability. Visit acehardware.com for details.
I was in the United States Army for 12 years, and if we had a stressful time, hey, we'd say, hey, let's go smoke a cigarette. The further I got away from the military, being in corporate environments and it not being as prevalent, being around smokers, I would become the odd man out. The first time I actually tried Juul, I was surprised at how similar it was to a cigarette.
Chris made the switch in 2018. To make the switch, visit JUUL.com. Juul Labs compensated this individual for the time and expenses in providing this testimonial. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
GEICO presents, yikes, another voicemail from your roommate.
Sup, Rumi? Hey, a pipe burst in the basement. It's completely flooded. Anyway, I called for someone to fix it, but in the meantime, I was thinking we could finally have that indoor pool party we've always wanted. I got some cool swan floaty things already going. Could you pick up some chips on your way home? Later.
The Geico Insurance Agency could help keep your personal property protected. Like if your roommate isn't the brightest pool float in the flooded basement. Visit Geico.com to see how easy it is to switch and save on renter's insurance.
This is a cow whose milk became everyone's favorite cheese at the craft fair. But cheese only lasts so long. The impression a small business makes needs to last much longer. That's why Vistaprint is offering 500 truly personalized business cards starting at $9.99. Choose from hundreds of fresh designs tailored to your type of company, or upload your own. The choice is yours. The time is now. Get 500 business cards starting at $9.99 with promo code 9696. That's promo code 9696 at Vistaprint.com. Vistaprint, own the now.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearms specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
You know, this tweet, this parody tweet, this satirical tweet dovetails perfectly with a story, a real story. It was in the Washington Post, wasn't it? About the lesbian couple who are married, but one woman decided that she now identified as a man, so they can no longer hang out with their lesbian friends. They had to try to find a whole new set of friends. And the one woman who decided to not transition to man now isn't sure whether she's still a lesbian or whether she's now married to a man, which was not the idea in the first place. And so it caused a lot of confusion. She's still trying to sort through the thing that her lesbian lover wife became a man, so is she still a lesbian? And it's complicated. I prefer to simplify things myself, but I'm kind of old-fashioned when it comes to those things. There is a Hollywood writer and director, a woman who's a, you know, Hollywood type, and her name is unpronounceable, Audrey Wauchope Lieberstein, I guess. Wauchope? Wauchope? Audrey Wauchope Lieberstein, and she's a leftist Hollywood person. She's got a Twitter account, and she's got the blue check mark because that means she's legit or something like that. And she wrote, because this new Joker movie is coming out, with Joaquin Phoenix, and it's real scary, and it's dark, and it's murderous, and it's frightening, and it's violent, because it's, you know, the days of Batman and Robin, the TV show, those are long gone. Everything is dark and murky and murderous, and it's murder porn. Everything is, it's Hollywood. And this Hollywood writer, director, she tweeted, unpopular opinion, colon. They love their colons. That Joker trailer looks like a love letter to kids who become mass shooters. And how many awards will it win is why I'm scared of men. See, it was fine until you got to the very end. You're right about the first couple of parts. But then you end up being afraid of men, of half the planet, because of a trailer for a movie that your friends in Hollywood produced. And you're terrified of how many awards it might win, because that's why you're scared of men, afraid of men. That's today's Democratic Party. They're quite remarkable, aren't they? There is a, this is very much worth noting, Jim Lavelle. Jim Lavelle, you think you don't know him, but you do. He was the law enforcement official, the Texas police officer, who was handcuffed to Lee Harvey Oswald when they did the last perp walk of its kind. That is, the presidential assassin, handcuffed, beat up, black eye, being dragged out in front of the press, in front of the news media. He's the guy in the kind of white suit, big old Texas law enforcement guy with a Stetson hat and a skinny black tie and a white shirt, kind of white summer suit, even though it was November. You know, it was Texas, wearing a white suit. And he was escorting Oswald out when Jack Ruby leapt forward and shot Lee Harvey Oswald, killing him. Well, that police officer, Jim Levitt, died yesterday, the age of 99 years old. Passed away. End of an era. That's today's update on the JFK assassination. I know somebody who was in that picture, too.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media soundbites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearms specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find fine ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
And, of course, yesterday while we were on the air, you know, humming along Sweet As You Please, the Comey IG report came out, the Inspector General report came out, and that sunk our battleship yesterday. Anything we had planned to do was blown out of the water, which happens quite regularly, actually. But we were talking about the funny tweet and the story that we were looking at yesterday, and I was talking about the story yesterday. It's a Washington Post story, and it's, you know, I mean, I guess my life is just simple and easy, but to some, this queer couple looks straight. For him, that's okay, but for her, it feels like a lie. That's the headline of the story. And it's about a lesbian couple, and one of the lesbian couple decided that she was going to transition to male, which is fine for the one transitioning to male, but the one who's female is a lesbian, and what's she doing with a male? How does that work? So it gets kind of complicated, you know. It's not as easy as just walking around being a heterosexual person. It's complicated. And they tell all these crazy stories, but they use the word conservative repeatedly and disparagingly in the story because, you know, it's those icky conservative people with all their conservative ideas and all of that. It's tough, but it turns out, and there were a lot of things in the very lengthy story. One of the stories they tell, one of the things they tell is Kate, the one who is not transitioning to man or didn't transition to man. Kate's queer identity has always been a central part of her life, she says. Her two mothers. Now, wait a minute. Didn't they say that it wouldn't make any difference if you were raised by two mothers or two fathers or something? And, hey, maybe it doesn't. We don't have the statistics. We'll have to wait. We're experimenting with the population. It's a big Petri dish, and it's an ongoing experiment. Her two mothers, here we go, who both worked at Wellesley College. Isn't that where Hillary Clinton went to college? I think that's where Hillary Clinton went to college, and she had that thesis paper, "There is only the fight, disagreeable from the beginning." Her two mothers, who both worked at Wellesley College, used a sperm donor to conceive her. That kind of would go without saying, wouldn't it? I wouldn't have to. Is there some other? Kate was one of, listen to this, one of the first children born to lesbians at Wellesley. She said, it was a huge deal. Now, it was a huge deal. It wasn't even the first child born to lesbians at Wellesley, just at Wellesley, because, you know, they were experimenting. It was college. But Kate said she felt her mothers hoped she might end up marrying a man, perhaps because they both came from conservative families and had endured the challenges coming out in a time that was far less accepting of gay couples. Sure, but that's the thing. Kate's mothers recently hosted two wedding showers, one for her and one that focused more on Andy. At Andy's party, all of the decorations were rainbow-themed. The cookies had rainbow sprinkles. The plates were adorned with the words, "Love is love." Now, when I have parties, they don't really focus very heavily on my heterosexuality or on my sexuality at all. They're just kind of parties. And then, hey, we're having a cake. Look, I love, you know, at the food store, they have chocolate cakes with the rainbow sprinkles. I love those rainbow sprinkles. Those are good. Even for heterosexuals, I think you can have rainbow sprinkles. It's okay. Two wedding showers, and all of the decorations were rainbow themes. The cookies had rainbow sprinkles. The plates were adorned with the words, "Love is love." But Kate's party felt more like a traditional feminine bridal shower. Everything was pink. While the couple appreciated both parties, they felt taken aback by the decorations. You know, you're just going to be unhappy about everything. Now, your two mothers are holding two bridal showers for a woman and a man. In the story, they refer repeatedly to Andy as he and his and, you know, preferred pronouns and all of that stuff. And I just be happy. Live your lives. People are throwing a party for you. Be appreciative. I don't know what to say about your girlfriend becoming your boyfriend and how to sort out the whole lesbian thing from that point on. I'll leave that to you. It's America. That's your decision to make. Isn't it great? Yes, it is. Speaking of liberals, the sixth illegal immigrant arrested in Montgomery County for sexual abuse. And that's not a good thing. That's a bad thing. Illegal, and this is the Washington Post and these people writing about it. It's just extraordinary stuff. I love the Washington Post writing of the story. Montgomery County man accused of sexually abusing stepdaughter and her brother. Wouldn't the stepdaughter's brother be the stepson? I don't want to do a family tree thing here on you, but the typist at the Dr. Evil Post writes, a Montgomery County, Maryland man, who immigration officials said was, quote, unlawfully present, end quote. See, they can't say an illegal alien, even though that's the governmental term for it. He was unlawfully present in the country, is accused of sexually abusing his stepdaughter and her brother, arrest documents say. Again, wouldn't that, they have two chances now, wouldn't that be stepdaughter and stepson? Isn't that how that works, or is it more complicated than that? Police said the 21-year-old Nestor Vladimir Lopez Guzman of Silver Spring, Maryland, started trying to touch his 12-year-old stepdaughter in November of 2018. The victim told police in May that the suspect attempted to touch her breast, buttocks, and genitals many times over 6 months. Police spoke to the girl's brother, who's in elementary school. After school staff informed Child Welfare Services, the boy had disclosed that Vladimir Lopez Guzman tried to touch his private parts on multiple occasions last year. Now, this is I read about, I guess, after four of them. Then there were five of them. In 1 month, in one county, illegal aliens molesting, raping, a number of them children, I think in at least three of the cases, they're underage, they're children is what they are. Lopez Guzman told police he did touch the boy, but that the touching is a common joke in El Salvador, where he is from. He said he never played this joke on the girl. See, it's with the boy, it's a joke. With the girl, it's serious business, I guess. Montgomery County Police took Lopez Goodman into custody on August 18th. He's charged with two counts of sexual abuse of a minor. He was held without bond, but a judge reduced his bond to $15,000 during a bond hearing. So $1,500 and you walk. And do they notify ICE? See, this is the thing in Montgomery County. They've got a rule, a practice against notifying ICE when they have illegal alien child rapists in custody. They say, hey, we don't play with Trump. We're going to let the illegal alien child rapists back on the street so they can continue to do what illegal alien child rapists invariably do. And in Montgomery County, that seems like good policy because, how shall I put this? They're liberals. And that's really the only prerequisite for coming to decisions and conclusions like that. Truly amazing stuff. It's just great. Montgomery County Corrections Department contacted the U.S. Immigration Customs Enforcement, which had lodged a detainer for the suspect at 6 p.m. on August 18th. Then you know what they do? They did with the last one with the child rapists? They called and left a voicemail on a cell phone of an ICE guy who was on vacation, and then they released the illegal alien into the wilds because that's what they do. ICE officers in Baltimore took Lopez Guzman into custody on August 20th. He was released the following day, August 21st, after posting an immigration bond. So he's back on the streets again, and it's okay. This is what they do. Look at the mugshot. This guy, you just a still photo, you know that the guy's a criminal. And there it is. And this is the sixth one. This is in 1 month in one county because that's their policy and they like it that way. All right, let's go to Lunch Bucket Joe because I love Lunch Bucket Joe. What's not to love about Lunch Bucket Joe? This guy is a constant source of hilarity. And I got to say, the news media's protecting Lunch Bucket Joe is something to behold. It really is. If you're Rick Perry and you can't remember the name of the third Department of Agency, you know, you're toast. If you're Dan Quayle, go all the way back to Dan Quayle. Potatoes, tomatoes, you're done. You're toast. That's the first line in your obituary. Joe Biden commits gaffes every day that are bigger than any gaffe Dan Quayle ever committed, bigger than any gaffe that Rick Perry ever committed. And the news media protects him. It's really quite remarkable what these guys do. But Lunch Bucket Joe was out there and telling a story. And here's the headline in the Washington Post, Matt Visor, Greg Jaffe. As he campaigns for president, Joe Biden tells a moving but false war story. It's moving, but it's a false war story. And as we have the war story here, right here, don't we? We have the war story. And here's Joe Biden telling a story, and it's pretty funny stuff because he talks about a Navy captain, which is a very high-ranking officer. You're one grade away from being a one-star admiral, rear admiral, lower half. It's the equivalent of being a full colonel, a bird colonel, in the Army, Air Force, and Marine Corps. And Joe Biden, I think, doesn't know that. But in any case, he talks about a Navy captain rappelling down the side of a cliff in Afghanistan. And I guess he could be a Navy SEAL or something, but, you know, not likely to find an 06, a captain out there rappelling down the side of in a combat zone. So, I mean, the story kind of starts to make no sense very early on. But here's a big story. And then he talks about he's pinning a medal on the guy, and the guy was saying, no, sir, I don't want the medal. And none of it ever happened. And all of it ever happened, and all of it happened at the same time. Bits of the story happened in different places, at different times, and different circumstances, but he just tethered them all together like Barack Obama's white girlfriend and tells the story like this.
Young Navy captain, Navy.
Young Navy.
Up in the mountains in the Konar Valley in Afghanistan.
Navy
behind,
captain.
It's called a FOB, a forward operating base.
It's called a FOB.
Behind these great big barriers on top of a mountain in a little cove in a godforsaken country.
What, is it an asshole?
One of his buddies got shot, fell down a ravine about 60 feet. Four-star general asked me whether I'd go up into the FOB. Now, everybody got concerned, a vice president going up in the middle of this, but we can lose a vice president. We can't lose many more of these kids.
Yeah, sure.
Not a joke.
I'll sacrifice myself.
This guy climbed down a ravine, carried this guy up on his back under fire, and the general wanted me to pin the silver star on him.
The general, immediately.
I got up there and stand. It's the God's truth. My word is a Biden.
Word as a
he
Biden.
He stood at attention. I went to pin him. I said, sir, I don't want the damn thing. Do not pin it on me, sir. Please, sir. Do not do that. He died. He died.
Okay. That's not a true story. That's not a real story. First of all, a Navy captain rappelling down the side of the mountain in the Afghan combat zones seems fairly unlikely all by itself. It's not impossible, but it's extremely unlikely. And then he comes back up, and immediately there's a general there with the Navy captain. This is like a dream that he had once. And he's, oh, you can't go there, sir. That's a FOB. That's a forward operating base. But he went, we can lose a vice presidency. He's like Teddy Roosevelt going up San Juan. He's a brave, he's a very brave man. And he goes, and then immediately after the guy comes back up the side of the cliff, there's a general there with a silver star that he wants to immediately pin on the guy, because that's how this works. The generals go around with pockets full of medals, and then when they see somebody do something good, they say, stand that guy up over there. I'm going to pin a silver star on him. That's not how it works. You have to submit, and there has to be a written report of the, you know, of the events, and then it's reviewed, and then they decide whether you're eligible for that award, and there's process. But apparently when Lunch Bucket Joe is there, you just show up, and the general says, hey, the vice president's here, maybe after lunch. This is completely delusional. The whole thing is completely insane. And nobody thinks that it's true, except Joe Biden, apparently. And it turns out that in 2008, Joe Biden did go to Afghanistan, and that he did watch a major general at the time, David Rodriguez, General Rodriguez, pin a bronze star, not a silver star, on a young soldier who was, I think, an Army enlisted guy, not a Navy captain, but never mind that. Young soldier who tried to pull a wounded comrade out of a burning vehicle, not off of a cliffside. And Joe Biden did not preside over the ceremony and all of this good stuff. The Washington Post notes in their story, they wrote it this way. The upshot, colon. They really do love their colons. They wrote, in the space of 3 minutes, Biden got the time period, the location, the heroic act, the type of medal, the military branch, and the rank of the recipient wrong, as well as his own role in the ceremony. Other than that, it's a good story well told. You know, facts don't really come into play when it comes to Lunch Bucket Joe telling stories, but The Washington Post, I'll give them points. They fact-checked it, and they even made a little bit of fun of him. But here's why. See, the party is getting rid of Lunch Bucket Joe. It's time for Joe to be shown the exits. And the news media, representing the Democratic Party, they're doing the lifting. They're trying to keep it as polite as possible, but there it is. You got the location, the heroic act, the type of medal, the branch of service, the rank of the recipient, and his role in it wrong. Otherwise, a good story well told, Lunch Bucket Joe.
I want to be clear. I'm not going nuts.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
Every month you get your credit card bills with multiple payments and multiple due dates. Wouldn't it be a lot easier to just have one payment at a lower rate? You can with a credit card consolidation loan from my friends at Lightstream. The average credit card interest rate is over 19% APR, but Lightstream has rates as low as 5.95% APR with autopay. You can get a fixed rate loan from $5,000 to $100,000 with no fees. You can even get your money as soon as the day that you apply. The online application is so easy, you can even apply right from your phone. Just for my listeners, apply right now and get a special interest rate discount. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/plant. That's LIGHTSTREAM.com/PLANTE. Subject to credit approval, rate includes 0.5% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/plant for more information.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's the Labor Day sale at Ace, the perfect time to buy the latest grills from our exclusive lineup of premium brands. Right now, buy one of our select Traeger grills and get a free Traeger accessories package valued at over $85. Plus, Ace Rewards members get free assembly and delivery on our top grills and accessories, $3.99 and up, from our store right to your door. Don't miss the Labor Day sale, now through Monday, only at Ace. See participating stores for scheduling or exclusions.
Liberty Mutual Insurance presents
and Doug.
Limu, there's a woman threatening to sign up for generic car insurance.
Grab your birdseed and let's go.
I'm going to sign these papers right here, right now.
Ma'am, drop the pen. Liberty Mutual customizes your car insurance, so you only pay for what you need.
Thanks, Limu, Emu, and Doug.
Don't thank us. Thank Liberty Mutual, but also thank us.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Only pay for what you need at libertymutual.com.
Underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Equal housing insurer. State laws.
Alan Gordon, Coach Master Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media soundbites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Choose truth over facts.
That's right. We choose truth over facts. I don't think these people know what words mean. They use words. They look like they dress themselves in the morning and everything, but then they say these crazy things. Lunch Bucket Joe was then, he was angry with the Washington Post that they published this fact check, pointing out a few problems with the story that he told. And he was angry about it, because how dare the Washington Post, which is, you know, their baggage handlers for the Democratic Party, how dare the Washington Post, and it's, you know, they have the interests of the party at heart because they don't think Biden's the best candidate, so they're ushering him toward the exits, showing him the door, and they asked Lunch Bucket Joe, and Lunch Bucket Joe was, he was a little upset with him. You may have heard the story that he told. A young Navy captain. Navy captains are not generally young in the scheme of things in the military. It's a grown-up job. And you've been in for 20 years before you're a captain, roughly. And Lunch Bucket Joe, he said the Navy captain rappelled down the side of a cliff because his buddy was down there and wounded, and he had to get him out. And now he's talking to the Washington Post about the story, saying that he got it all wrong.
What is the gaffe when I said there was a young man I tried to pin a medal on? He said, I don't want it, sir. He died. He died. He died. And it was a young man, my recollection was, that in fact pulled a colleague of his out of a burning Humvee.
Well, that's a different...
And he risked his life doing it, and the young man died that he tried to save.
All right. Well, that's the story that the other general pinned a Bronze Star on an enlisted guy. That part of the story is true. But you notice how it went from a guy going down the side of a mountain to get somebody to pull somebody out of a burning vehicle, and it's no longer a Navy captain.
This guy climbed down a ravine, carried this guy up on his back under fire.
See, which is it? He climbed down a ravine, carried the guy up on his back, or he pulled a guy out of a burning vehicle. It was a Bronze Star, a Silver Star. He pinned it on, or a general pinned it on.
I was making the point how courageous these people are, how incredible they are, this generation of warriors,
yeah,
these fallen angels.
Now he's rapid. Take the microphone
and
out
so
of your mouth.
That, I don't know what the problem is. What is it that I said wrong?
What is it that I said wrong? After all, I didn't get anything wrong other than the time frame, the location, the act in question, the type of medal, the branch of service, the rank of the recipient, and your role in it. Other than that, I don't think you got anything wrong, Joe. That's fine. Would you like your porridge now?
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.